This is Batman. Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. That's what it does, because I'm Batman.
Welcome to episode 55 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levitsky, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. Last time we gave you Marvel, this time we give you DC. Brandon is back for the first time in a while. He is the Indigo Fire. Raph is back. He is the Wraithmaker. And Brent and I are on this also. And dear God, are there a lot of tangents? Please make sure to listen to the bloopers at the end, because there sure are plenty. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levitsine, and welcome to episode 55 of Comic Timing. Yes, we've done 5 episodes since episode 50. It is an absolute miracle. And, well, joining me today, first off, the usual, the co-host, not co-host, co-host, which cancels the co-host if you're a co-host. It's co-host Brent Cassino. What's up, co-host?
What's up?
How you doing?
Doing good.
All right. It's cool. It's cool. And also joining us today is the 2007 Best New Group Podcast Noisy Award winning podcaster. I'm talking about Brandon Indigo Fire. What's up, Brandon?
Yo, what is up, my homies?
Yeah, actually, he didn't win, because he only puts out episodes once every, like, blue moon. But the winner was Raph, who's also
what?
In this episode.
I
yeah.
won?
You won, dude.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's like you just won The Price is Right, man. Minus the car and the millions
film.
And, like, the Bob Barker and the Drew Carey and all that. But congrats.
I'd like to thank the Academy. I'd like to thank the 4 people that voted for me. Yeah.
You know who I'd like to thank? Baby Jesus.
Yes, Baby Jesus. Thank you.
Little 6 pound, 8 ounce Baby Jesus. Back from the spot and go watching little Einstein videos.
He's a little tough to bear. Ain't he adorable? Ain't he adorable?
We're off to a good start already, boys. We're off to a good start already.
Excellent start.
It is the DC wrap-up episode, and you know what we do on the DC wrap-up? We wrap up DC. What a shock, you know? I mean, it just sort of explains itself. It's 2007 wrap-up, so, well, let's go through what I posted on the forums. With 2007 came plenty of development in the DCU. Did Countdown live up to the expectations 52 left for it to achieve? With the end of the Sinestro War, the GL books appear to be leading to yet another crossover a year away. Is this the type of book you want to read, or would you rather have smaller arcs? Did the return of Ra's al Ghul renew or increase your interest in the Bat Family? How do you feel delays affected the Superman titles? Were you bothered by the delays, or were you simply happy to get a story? What storylines are you looking forward to most in 2008? Who were your most beloved creative team of 2007? And of course, just like last episode, you can list your favorite and least favorite DC comics of the year, including miniseries and for kicks. Which new series was a sight for sore eyes, and which one left you scratching your head? And finally, what final crisis are we counting down to? Ba-ba-boom. Let it be known, ladies and gents, and we'll discuss your thoughts in great detail. It's the final countdown. It's not magic, Dandadio. It's an illusion.
You know, because you don't have to explain magic.
Of course.
And it's Hazatara.
And you know what? Before we get into DC Comics, Brent has some things to say about that thing that happened in Marvel.
I thought we all had something to say about it.
Yes, but let's start with yours, because your thoughts are going to be rousing.
I think that joke aside, it's full of shit. And now that the Marvel Universe is now the DC Universe, because, you know, we have magical people and magic. Well, actually, yeah, pretty much. I think it's kind of sad that Marvel used to pride itself on how realistic it was and that they didn't have too many magical elements. But now, of course, you know, joke aside, is of the opinion, as stated by JMS on Newsarama, so who knows if this is really true, but that magic is magic and doesn't need to be explained. While DC is setting up the rules of magic in the Trials of Shazam, Marvel's just going, it's magic. Okay, we're done. Good. All right, next story.
See, I think we should have just had a storyline called House of Spidey, where Spider-Man and his, you know, family, his extended family, were, like, ruling the world. But then eventually, he's got this, like, guy in his court named Mephisto, and, you know, everybody finds out that this is not the way the world's supposed to be. So they turn to Mephisto, and as they're running towards him, Mephisto goes, "No more marriage for Peter Parker. Oh, by the way, Harry's back." That's totally how it should have happened. And yet just, that's not what we, oh wait, that is pretty much what happened in that anyway. Jesus frickin' Christ. Mephisto. Jesus, come on, Marvel. Come on. I'm done.
Ian, tell me how you really feel.
I'll tell you that I think that no matter what Joe Quesada says, and I mean, you know, JMS has been like, oh yeah, hey, this wasn't the story I did. And the Joe Quesada was like, this is pretty much the story you wanted to do. And then JMS was like, yeah, but you left out this part. And then Joe Quesada was like,
but he wanted to bring Gwen Stacy back.
No, Joe Quesada JMS wanted to bring Gwen Stacy back.
No, JMS did. Joe Quesada said no.
No, it was the other way around. It was the other way around.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. Joe Quesada wanted to bring Gwen Stacy back, and the other editors had to convince Joe Quesada not to bring Gwen Stacy back.
You sure?
I'm 100% positive.
JMS wanted to bring it.
JMS wanted to do it too, but then what happened was the way he wanted to bring her back wasn't the way they wanted to do it. They didn't want to reset everything all the way at the point where Harry dies. They wanted Peter to send Harry to rehab. Mary Jane was supposed to stay with Harry, and Gwen and Peter stay together, and she never dies.
Well, here's an idea. Let's reset all the way back to Uncle Ben not being dead, and let's see what happens there.
Yeah, no, seriously. That was my whole point, because Peter's life is about great power and great responsibility, because he let his uncle die because he could have stopped the robber and everything, right?
Yeah.
And he let Gwen Stacy die, right? Accident and everything. So, you know, Aunt May dies, and suddenly, oh, I need to do everything I can. I need to sell out my morals. I need to sell out my whole entire existence just to save my aunt. I mean, not that Aunt May isn't important, but what about the other people that he let die, huh? Come on. Explain that, you big fucking hypocrite Quesada. Oh, I hate you.
I love how you sounded like slightly Jewish as you were saying, you big hypocrite Quesada.
I know, Ian. He just upsets me so.
I know.
Can I just say something, though?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say thank you, Joe Quesada. Thank you.
What?
Yeah. Thank you for taking my trouble and bending over and anally raping it, because that's what you did. You hurt my soul, Mr. Quesada. You just destroyed the inner 12-year-old inside of me. You undid 20 years of continuity, things which I came to accept, things which I loved, because, you know what? I like it better this way.
So what you're saying is that he performed pedophilia on your childhood.
Yes, he did. He really did. And I think he liked it, too.
Quesada's a priest? I'm not buying that one. I'm not buying that one.
This might actually be the worst part of the conversation we've ever had on Comic Timing. This is great. This is perfect.
Thank you. Award-winning conversation. Thank you very much.
But look, no, I put it this way, okay? And this will, you know, I guess this will be the wrap of the conversation, and then we'll move into DC. But Spider-Man is supposed to be a character you can relate to. And, I mean, I went fully into that on that rant I posted on the site. But he's supposed to be a character you can relate to. That's what all Marvel heroes originally were. Characters that you felt like you could just walk down the street and run into Captain America on the street or Spider-Man on the street. Well, this just in, nobody in the real world has ever turned to the devil and said, okay, you can erase my marriage. That's not the way things go in the real world. And you could say whatever the hell you want about, oh, no, well, superheroes aren't supposed to be the real world. But you know what? That's the way it was for the longest time. Peter Parker was the guy you could relate to the most out of anybody in the Marvel U. And he took that away by resetting his life like this. So I say hats off to you, Quesada, for making me care nothing whatsoever about what happens next for the character of Peter Parker, because he's not my Peter Parker anymore.
Yeah, yep. I'm done with Marvel. I think I really am now.
Whoa.
For the time being.
I can't do that because I'm too interested in Secret Invasion.
Thor, Iron Fist.
Right.
Yeah. Too many other books.
I can't do that yet, but who knows? Who knows what's going to happen down the road? And even I admit...
Sorry, done with Spider-Man.
I'm done with Spider-Man.
I mentioned this actually on the Amazing Spider-Cast, which should hopefully be released like 1 or 2 days after, probably even before this episode comes out. But out of like common courtesy for Dan Slott, because he is one of my favorite creators, I'm going to pick up the first month. I'm going to see how it is. And if that first month does not catch my attention, well, then I'm no longer picking up Spider-Man. I have to give it at least a month. That's the way I'm looking at it.
That's true.
Again, because I've been reading the character so long, and because I'm such a huge fan of everything Dan Slott's ever done, pretty much, I have to give it a shot. So even if I don't like the direction it's gone, I'm giving it a shot for Dan Slott. That's all I'm saying.
It's already in my DCBS.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Makes sense?
It makes sense, but I don't think I can get that same courtesy. I mean, I have not been invested in Marvel that much lately. Mm-hmm. I've only been reading a couple of the outside non-major titles, things like Shulky and Spider-Girl and things like that. So I don't really see my investment in Marvel the same way you do. I think right now I could drop Spider-Man and not lose any sleep over it, even though he probably has been my favorite character ever since I was walking, pretty much.
Did this hurt more than Young Justice going bye-bye?
It hurt just as much, actually, yeah.
Hmm. That's actually what I was wondering, so. All right. Yeah, that's our Marvel talk for this episode. If you want to hear more, listen to the last episode, where we were still somewhat optimistic about where things were going. All right, DC wrap-up. We'll start with, DC's biggest thing first. Might as well. We'll start with Countdown. Did Countdown live up to the expectations 52 left you? And we'll start with Raph.
Did Countdown live up to him? Let's see. Well, okay, I really was expecting... See, that's the thing. Like, part of me was expecting a lot from Countdown because it's following 52. 52 is a great weekly series. And part of me was like, they're trying to have a spine for the universe weekly when the rest of the books are monthly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to be okay. So, did it live up to my expectations? Yes and no. I mean, I didn't expect it to be the greatest thing, but I also expected it to be a little bit faster paced than it's been.
Right.
And, I mean, lately it's picked up. I think the last issue, we find out where Roy Palmer's been, right?
Ray Harper is someone entirely different than the Atom.
Yeah. Ray Parker, Ghostbusters?
Didn't he write the Ghostbusters song?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Ray Parker Jr.
Right. Yeah, it's Ray Parker Jr. But you're close enough, though. Close enough, though. Who are you going to call? Who are you going to call? Ray Palmer.
Yes. Joe Quesada.
Yes. Hi, Joe Quesada. I need toilet paper. Can I get an issue of One More Day, please? Thank you.
Can you just wipe my ass with your hand instead? That would feel better.
Do you seriously think I would want my ass to be tainted by his hand?
There's actually someone who wiped their ass
to taint his hand with my ass.
Yeah, I saw that on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
So now, now there's videos of somebody wiping their ass with it, burning it, thanks Amazing Spider-Cast, and ripping it to shreds, thanks Half Hour Wasted. So you're off to a great start, Marvel.
Yep.
But hey!
You know what the best part is? What? Joke aside, I don't care.
Uh-huh.
Nope.
Yep. But guess what? Joke aside has nothing to do with Countdown or 52, so...
Yes.
You know...
So, yeah.
Well, no, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just want to finish up. I'll give Countdown, like, I guess a B-. I mean, it's not terrible. Lately it hasn't been terrible, but it's not all that great. But I'm still going to get it to the end, so, yeah.
Well, I didn't want Countdown to be a rehash of 52, because obviously 52 happened already. You know, if we would have had the exact same characters, similar situations, that sort of thing, it wouldn't have been worth reading at all. Countdown is like the spine of the DC universe. 52 was just an ancillary title. You know, you could read it and you wouldn't have to worry about the rest of the DCU. It's a great thing to read. It's a wonderful story. But it wasn't something that was happening with the rest of the universe. With Countdown, this is the spine of the DC universe. If you don't read Countdown, you're going to be wondering why the hell Superman's here, or what's the deal with Jimmy Olsen? Why is he being so prominent in the Superman books now? What the hell is this Death and the New Gods thing about? Why are we seeing Lord Havoc and the Extremists for the first time in years? What's going on here? What's the deal? And you'd just be entirely lost in the DCU if you were not reading Countdown. Countdown is not the best title. In fact, it's far from it. It's been all right. I've been sort of happy with it, but it's just certainly not connecting on nearly as many levels as I thought something written by Paul Dini would. But then again, it's not just written by Paul Dini. You know, this is everybody. And the art, too, has been sort of eh, but it's been getting better as they got more and more better creators as part of it. Especially the Scott Collins issues have been great. Those I've been a really big fan of. But I guess all in all, Countdown has been good enough for me. But it needs to be better. It definitely does. Brandon, you?
I think it can be best described as this. During their con tour a couple of years ago, when they were talking 52, they said it was like watching people only go to see a race car event. You do go watch NASCAR, just watch the crash. And that's why I kind of equate Countdown to. Mm-hmm. I'm watching it right now, see who's going to crash, who's going to crash, and oh, there's a crash right there. But with 52, it was held together by just sheer force of will by all four creators. And now, since Countdown came along, I think it's a little bit of too many hands in the pot to really make it work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it started off okay. kind of hit a little low streak. And actually, it's gotten better as it's gone along. I mean, the last couple issues I've liked were the one where you see Anand has Atara,
uh-huh.
and Smoothie Prime and Mixed Play. That was one of my favorite issues right there.
Right.
I just want to see how it's going to pan out. Not that I'm really interested in the story. I just want to see what they do with it. That's all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you do agree that it is pretty much the backbone of the DCU right now.
Well, yeah, it is. But I mean, it's taking so long, though. Honestly, I mean, with
right.
Mixed Play, you felt there was an actual quick pace to it. You felt that this happened this time and this happened this week after it. I mean, for Countdown, you had six issues alone where they're at the same bachelorette party.
Right.
That's not real time in my mind, honestly.
Well, and plus, how about the fact that after Lightning Saga was over, we first got four issues where they were talking Lightning Saga in Countdown.
Exactly. I mean, I get it that it's happening within a week of that time,
mm-hmm.
but when you go from real time to kind of real time, it just loses a little bit.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Brent, what about you? Living up to expectations?
Oh, heck no. There's no way. I thought Paul Dini was going to be awesome, but just ended up sucking. I think it's because the writers are not communicating as, like, a writer's room on television.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of going, like, okay, this is what needs to happen, so the narrative voice is a whole lot different from issue to issue.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas 52, no matter who was written by, the voice was kind of the same. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So I think that helped 52 a lot, and it's really hampering. Or whatever, it's turning Countdown.
Yeah. Well, and that happens when you have a head writer, and then you leave it in the hands of other people. With Paul Dini, these are Paul Dini's ideas, but other people are crafting them. So obviously they're not going to be able to do nearly as well as Paul Dini would be able to do on his own.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, going back to Countdown for a minute, though, are the characters that are involved in Countdown nearly as exciting as the ones that were in 52? Because, again, you had, like, secondary, like, characters that hadn't really been in the spotlight that much in 52. You get the same sort of thing in Countdown, but I guess they're a different shade of character, but they are still characters that have never really had their own book in a really long time. Let me ask Brent first here. Are the characters themselves anywhere near as interesting as the characters in 52 were?
No, but I think that's still because of the writing, not because of that, because they're different characters. I was more excited for Kyle Rayner and Donna Troy, and, you know, and then once Jason Todd was kind of interested, now he's not that much of a badass, which kind of doesn't help my interest in him, but forget who else is in it.
Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy Olsen, well, him I could care less about, really.
Yeah. Karate Kid.
Karate Kid. I guess it's interesting. I'm a little confused as to how Omac got to be in a mountain. Because
mm-hmm.
I didn't read the Omac miniseries.
Yeah.
But in there, wasn't he a satellite?
He was, yeah.
When in the Omac project, one shot. I don't know, but didn't he crash in the desert?
I think
that's
so.
Confused me.
Yeah, he crashed in the desert where Jaime Reyes was.
Yeah.
From there, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he crashed in, like, Islamabad or something in Saudi Arabia.
Wait, really?
In that one shot from Infinite Crisis.
Yeah, post-Infinite Crisis.
Because Sasha Bordeaux came, and that's how she got all mutated and shit.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. I swear he must have some sort of teleportation ability, like, still inside of him, because he's been everywhere.
No, because I think they tried to blow him up at the end of that OMAC special.
But they didn't, obviously?
Or, yeah, maybe he kind of covered his escape with the explosion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or it, I don't know, it's computer intelligence.
Oh, and of course, Darkseid being really important in this, even though he has barely had... He's had, like, four lines all of Countdown, but he's really powerful.
Move a justice to Zod.
And Grady Goodness. And, you know, oh, yeah, Harley and you know, faux Catwoman.
Hey,
yeah,
like her.
Them I don't care about.
Yeah.
Basically, I was really looking forward to Kyle and Donna and stuff.
Right.
And then everything else, I was hoping that it would catch my eye and stuff as it went on. You know, I haven't read Countdown in a whole month, so I'm totally blanking on what the fuck's going on.
Ooh, yeah.
And you can thank DCBS for that.
Yes.
Because I asked them to ship my comics to Orlando for this month, and they said, okay, we'll do that. And then somebody forgot to make a note in the actual shipping log.
Boo.
So yeah, the first 2 weeks of December's comics are in Gainesville waiting for me.
Oh, great.
The next 2 weeks, I don't know where they're going.
Hey,
so if I'm totally blanking on Countdown, you can thank them.
I got my shipment yesterday. It was good times, good stuff. Yeah, hey.
I got mine Monday, I think.
Yeah. I got to read What If Civil War.
That I'm actually looking forward to reading.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. The second story was better than the first, because the second story is literally, what if things happened awesome?
What if it actually ended well?
Yeah.
But nothing really yet so far has done that. So.
Here's my question. Why'd they have to call them the Challengers of the Unknown?
Because they challenged the Unknown.
So they could keep the publishing rights to that other series?
I guess, but I mean, the other Challengers of the Unknown are currently in Brave and the Bold.
That's very true.
You know, I mean, they could have called them, like, Challengers of the Fantastic, because I'm sure that that copyright lapsed when DC and Marvel stopped doing their amalgam.
That's yeah. true. Or Multiverse Travelers or something.
Ooh, I got it. Challengers of the Awesome.
I thought they were Challengers of the Beyond or something.
Wait, are they?
Unknown? Wait, isn't the Unknown the original title?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. So they're, like, Challengers from Beyond or something like that?
Oh.
Which I never understood because they don't call themselves that. Why would they? Yeah. Let's be the Challengers of Beyond, dude.
Okay, seriously.
Since you're all, like, traveling through multiverses and beyond.
I could totally imagine like Bob just all of a sudden stopping them and going, come, Challengers of the Beyond. We have somewhere else to be.
It's like, Bob, you really have to call us that?
I know.
Yes. Why? Because I like it.
Midge is so laughing right now.
Yeah, totally, Midge.
I can't believe that his name is Bob.
I can't believe the other one's name is Midge.
So, doesn't he have an actual name? Didn't they give him a name?
Yeah, but I like Midge so much better.
Yeah, that's true. That's
Solomon true. Is the actual
Solomon,
name.
Solomon, yes. There you go. Yeah.
Solomon Grundy.
Yeah,
born in the Monday.
Hey, Jinx. Hang on, sit up.
Aw. Okay, but yeah, anyway, Brandon, what do you think of the whole character thingy?
All right. They were a little bit more high-profile characters than what we got in 52. Mm-hmm. That was a plus. We have Piper and Trickster.
Yeah.
Interesting pairing there for a little bit.
Right.
You had Friday Kid and Una, and that was, that was less than stellar.
Uh-huh.
I mean, honestly, I was more interested in seeing what was going on with Mary Marvel and what was going on with...
Oh, yeah, Marvel I forgot about her.
Anything else.
Yeah, Mary Marvel and Eclipso.
Yeah. Not so much. You can keep her. I liked what direction they had with Mary Marvel in the beginning of the book. Not so much now, because she's now like a little... Well, little princess, you know.
She's a little bitch.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Can't stand it. Just slap her.
Can't stand it.
Everything about, like, Mary Marvel and stuff, about what I was looking forward to, her being, you know, Black Adam or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and just totally changed it almost, like...
Petulant. Spoiled. Whiny. Miniskirt.
Why isn't she slutty yet? Because that would complete it. That'd be
she
like
was,
the trifecta.
Like an episode. Like an issue, she's all like, you know, hey, what's up, yo? How you doing? I'm angry. I don't like this.
Don't you really want Mary Marvel and Black Alice to start hanging out together?
And they can share Superman Prime.
Oh God, Raph. That's the worst.
I don't know how he figures into this.
Stupid multiverse. This is not like my old universe.
You know, your whiny voice there actually kind of matches what he sounded like in that like audio production they did at 52.
Oh, really?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know the Infinite Crisis?
52? Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Yeah, no, they started coming out with the 52 one, but yeah, I meant to say Infinite Crisis.
Hey, didn't you get that at 300?
No, I didn't. However, I do have the thingy, though.
Confusing it with me. I won that at 300.
Yeah, right, sure. Uh-huh.
Aquaman doesn't have a sword?
Stupid Earth. Death.
But yes, so going back to Mary Marvel.
Oh, no, also, I have one more thing to say.
Go ahead.
Sinestro Corps War, that didn't factor at all into Countdown.
Right, yeah.
Not at all, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have Jeff Johns writing the book. If they did, it would have had.
But my thing is, though, you had pretty much the end of Sinestro Corps War in Countdown well before it ever happened. And you had Super Wars Prime back and back again, and, you know... I was just confused by what was going on already. I mean, there was no definite, this is the timeline we're going on. At least with 50, you had a definite timeline.
Right.
And this book was lagging that seriously. The characters be darned, at all, if you don't have a good timeline with the story, you don't know how to follow it.
They better damn well explain how Superman Prime got where he did after Sinestro Corps.
If you read Sinestro Corps again back to back, it does seem like it takes place over a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't seem like it's that quick.
Yeah.
They attack, and then, you know, they go to Oa, and then the ranks thing, and then they go to Earth, and that was, like, a few issues and shit. So, you know, probably less than, like, a week, right?
Right.
That's what I'm figuring.
How do you go from looking like you're 15 years old to looking like you're 34?
You travel through the multiverse, through the bleed a couple times. I don't know.
He went to 34 worlds. I have no idea, man. Come on. mean, I have no clue how it happened. We're obviously going to find out eventually, but, you know, now's not the time, I guess. But, Raph...
Maybe Mixoplick did that for him.
Maybe.
Before he bailed on him.
I guess. That's certainly possible. Well, they said that he was so supercharged on, like, solar energy, that's why he looked that way.
You know what bothers me about Countdown, though, is that we have still haven't figured out the plot of it. You know, by this time in 52, with 18 issues left to go, three of the storylines had tied up, and some of them had diverged off into the other storylines, you know what I mean? And we still don't know what Countdown's about.
Well, we know what it's about. Two Final Crisis.
But what's so good
yes,
about
but
Final Crisis?
I want to know what the threat is. They should establish the threat that's going to be in Final Crisis in these next 18 issues.
The threat is
and
that
then
in 18
Crisis,
issues, there's going to be Final Crisis.
that's not a story, though.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't make for a good story, and I think that's part of the thing. Nothing yet has come together in this story to make it really seem like Countdown. The only thing that's counting down in here is the numbering. Nothing else is counting down to Final Crisis.
Well, look.
I know that they want to keep it a secret, but show me some resolution with the Monitor War or Ray Palmer and stuff like that.
I think we'll get there. We are getting
see Mary Marvel
with Ray
get
Palmer.
Somewhere.
I think within the next five issues, we're going to have a resolution with Ray Palmer.
I want to know what's going on with the Flash Rogues. I mean, it seems they were just there for a little while to introduce Salvation Run, and now that may have started on its own, and I don't know what they're doing with them anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if we get resolution of one storyline, yeah, that's good, but you have, again, you said five issues, so at least with eight issues to tie up six other storylines.
Right.
What I would say is that, you know, you have 52 issues and so many storylines, that should give you plenty of room to tie some of things up. You know what I mean? Like, I think at the end, Final Crisis is going to seem rushed, or not Final Crisis, Countdown, is going to seem rushed and stuff because they don't know what – they're not going to have enough room because they've been dicking around for so long.
Or it could be – conversely, it could be that Final Crisis will be so full of stuff that we won't know what to do with it. I mean, it can go both ways, really.
Yeah.
I want them to resolve their stories and then have one dangling thread that leads to Final Crisis. Or them all to come together and then say, okay, this will be resolved in Final Crisis, but in a way that it feels like I didn't read Countdown for nothing. And that's what I'm afraid, you know, 18 issues left, that I'm going to feel like I read Countdown for nothing, that I didn't have to read it and spend, you know, $100 or more on it.
Well, I guess we'll find out soon enough whether that's going to happen. But I want to actually ask Raph this before we move on. How do the characters in Countdown compare to the characters in 52 for you?
Well, they're certainly higher profile, but like everyone else has said, they haven't delivered the way the other guys did. I mean, Question Renee was a great storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Dibny's storyline was terrific. The Booster Gold Supernova thing, I absolutely love that one. But we don't get that here. I mean, the best ones, I think, are the Piper Trickster, the Kyle Rayner one, the Kyle Rayner Donna Troy one, the Challengers one, and that's it. I mean, Mary Marvel is basically like the perfect girlfriend for Superman Prime, like I alluded to earlier, and I can't stand that. I mean, I love Superman Prime as a villain, but if I have to see him for more than like six pages, I'm gonna like go crazy. I'm not gonna say his name.
No TV and Superman Prime for more than six pages make Raph something something.
Don't mind if I do. Anyway, it does, like what Brent was saying, like it does sort of feel like, it doesn't feel like we're really going anywhere. It's like a story for the sake of having a story.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that, you know, soon that we get something. I mean, well, I haven't read last month's issues, and that's not true. I'm on issue 21 at the end, like the whole OMAC uprising thing is sort of cool, but we needed more of that. Like every few issues, like not just right now. It should have happened a lot sooner with some of this stuff.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm okay with it, but they're not as good as they could be. Definitely, there's a lot of good characters in there that could be used a lot better.
It's a bad thing that it took until halfway through the series for me to give a damn.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, and now we are finally allowing me to give a damn. But hey, look on the bright side. At least with Mary Marvel, you didn't hear somebody going, "It's magic. Why do we have to explain it?"
Continue him, please.
I didn't mention him. I'm just saying. All right.
I'll show him magic.
Sinestro Corps War. Let's talk about something good. How about that? Best damn crossover I've ever read in my life. It just captured me. And this captured the pure essence of something that's supposed to feel like a cohesive, complete story. And by the time it was over, we were left with that dangling thread where we're going to have a full year build-up to the next story. I don't know whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing yet. We'll have to see whether or not, you know, the next year does actually feel like a build-up, like Countdown. You know, like Countdown feels like it's building to something we don't know what. Are the Green Lantern books going to feel like they're building to something that we know is coming in Blackest Night? Let's have everybody's take on that. Sinestro Corps War, as a whole, how did it do it for you? And are you happy or sad that you're going to be reading a full year of GL comics that you know is just going to be leading up to something huge at the end of it? And for this one, let's start with Brent.
For me, Sinestro Corps hit a lot of places. I do think there are some, you know, points in the middle where it didn't feel as great as the first and the last chapters, and that'll be it. Basically, you don't have to read the whole Kyle's Parallax stuff. You can just assume he gets back. I mean, those are some good moments, but they didn't. The series didn't hit as hard as those, the first and the last chapter of it.
Okay.
I think the other thing that hit as well as those two was where the new Ion fought Superboy Prime, the last issue of Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
And I would say that would be the only issue that I thought was necessary to read of the Green Lantern Corps issues. This is Geoff Johns' story. That much was obvious. And that the rest of it kind of didn't have to be in there.
Well, let me just say, though, that Ron Mars did do a wonderful job of matching Geoff Johns' style.
Well, yeah, but he didn't write the Green Lantern Corps issues. I'm not talking the one-shots. I thought all of those were great.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought all those were great. But it just seems like the Green Lantern Corps stuff kind of felt tacked on, that this could have just been in the regular Green Lantern book, but it made sense for them to move it into the both of them.
Right.
But I'm happy that we're getting a full year of Green Lantern stories, because maybe that means that Ethan Vard and Skyver can draw the whole thing of Blackest Night, because the man takes forever.
Well, on the last episode of Half Hour Wasted, not the last one actually, I think it's two now, he had the interview with Half Hour Wasted, he said that he was going to draw all of In Blackest Night, but it looks like something has come up. So he might only be drawing like what he did with this one. And he'll do like maybe the first and last issues and have somebody else do the middle ones, which is fine as long as that middle person is Ivan Reyes.
Yeah. What was weird, though, is at MegaCon last year, he said he was his next project after the Sinestro Corps was going to be a Batman thing.
Okay.
But who knows if that's going to happen at all. He was saying Plastic Man on that thing, that he'd really like to do a Plastic Man. No, so that kind of
sounded
like...
He said that he wanted to, but he said that's something he's not going to be doing soon. That Batman thing sounds like it might actually be something he's doing, like, next.
Well, that would make me really happy. Just him on Batman with Batman villains. I mean, I love the way he did it in Superman Batman just for three issues.
Yeah.
What has me really excited about his Batman stuff is that I'm going to be able to get an action figure of it.
Sweet.
The next Superman Batman wave is going to be Ethan Van Sciver based.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
But yeah, I do think Sinestro Corps was one of the best events ever.
Yeah, and plus he's going to be
doing... Had Civil War not been a letdown, it would have been like a tie.
Agreed. Yeah. I think that actually, what was it? I think Justice League of America number 20. He's also going to be doing sometime soon, which should be a hell of a lot of fun to see him drawing Justice League.
I think that's just a Flash and a Wonder Woman though, but that should be interesting anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move on to Raph here and Sinestro Corps. How did you?
Yeah, it is probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, crossover I've seen. It was totally unbelievably good, and I think it's because it was the vision of one person, basically, and it was told in two books, if you don't count the one-shots. I mean, I think that's – I had heard Didio talk in an interview, I think it was on Newsarama, after Sinestro Corps ended, that they wanted to do more stuff like this and Resurrection of Ra's al Ghul, which we'll talk about later. Like, they want to do it contained within the books after Final Crisis, which is actually making me very happy, because I had said before, like I think last year, that if you want to feed us a big crossover, feed it to us within a family of books, not the entire universe, because I'm getting tired of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, it just delivered on every single possible level, and I'm extremely happy that we get a year to the next one, because I want to find out about the other Lantern Corps, the red one, the blue one, the Indigo one. I mean, I want to find out what they can do. I want to find out what their roles are, and it's going to take a year to find out. I mean, it's 12 issues. It's only 12 issues till Blackest Night or whatever. I think, is that what it's called?
Blackest Night.
Yeah, Blackest Night.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 12 issues, I mean, that's plenty of, that's not that many issues. So, by the end of the year, I mean, after Final Crisis is done, And I mean, it's going to be great. I'm really optimistic now that I have an idea of what DC is doing in the future.
Answer me this, though, Raph. If you put one of each of the lanterns together, do you get tie-dye?
No, I've asked myself that many times.
Okay, because
I've been thinking about that.
I'm sure that many hippies would be very happy to have, you know, shirts made by these lanterns.
That's true. Actually, well, I think what they're doing with Mongol might tell us, but I'm not going to say anything else about that because that would be
right.
Spoiling.
So you're happy that it's going to be leading up to something like Blackest Night?
Oh yeah, there's so much more they can build out of this. So he can take as much time as he needs. Seriously.
Right. Brandon, for you.
All right, I want to add on to what you said. Not only was this the best crossover ever, this was the best crossover spanning 20 years ever.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know this, it's actually pretty much spun out of an Alan Moore story.
Mm-hmm.
Where Alan, I think it was a little bit after Alan Moore introduced MoGo. And it pretty much was this whole prophecy of the end of the Green Lantern Corps. That's what I liked about this. I mean, it started off with a bang. Like, Sinestro Corps One-Shot was more like a summer action movie, and that's what I loved about it. And as the event went on, it got bigger and bigger, and it just, I mean, it encompassed everything what I liked about Green Lantern. I mean, it brought me with characters which I love. I got some more time to see with MoGo. I got some more time to see with Silhouette. I got some more time with other core members which I didn't know as much of, which I really liked. And of course, I loved seeing that little bit of time Kyle Rayner unleashed as Parallax. It was so perverse in its nature, it just drew me in.
Right.
For the longest time, we always associated Kyle as being the most talented of the Green Lanterns, and it was just really fun to see him like run loose and run amok as the Parallax persona.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it.
And
there would be no Green Lantern Corps right now if not for Kyle.
Exactly. Yeah. And now I think it brought about an age where, like, 5-6 years ago, there was only one Green Lantern. And it was good storytelling then. But now you have multitude of Green Lanterns now. You can borrow from so many different things now. You can tell so many different stories. And that's what makes me excited now. Because for the next 12 months, I have 24 different stories I can pick and choose from.
Mm-hmm.
See how this is going to build Blackest Night. And that's what's making me really, really excited now.
Yeah. And this whole thing about the Alpha Lantern just has me really intrigued. Well, that's what the most recent issues have been talking about. Like, who are the Alpha Lanterns?
Oh, yeah.
Again, there's no spoilers in talking about it. That's the next thing that they're going to be talking about. This new group of Lanterns that apparently are supposed to, I guess, be like the elite squad or something like that. And they're called the Alpha Lanterns, which is, I guess, one of the 10 new laws was introducing the Alpha Lanterns. So I'm wondering what they're going to factor into the whole thing.
Also, we get to learn what the other new laws are that Owen enacted.
Right. Right. And I'm sure we'll get that over the next year.
Ian, what did it do for you?
Well, for me, it sort of proved that I can be interested in Green Lantern and not just because Kyle's in it. Because up until
That's
now...
That's the same way.
Right. Right. Because, like, up until now... You know, Kyle was my Green Lantern. He always will be my Green Lantern because that's the one that I started reading. But I read the Ion book. Why? Because Kyle was in it. Sure, I read Green Lantern with Hal in it. But I was still kind of annoyed that Hal was there, you know? Because it just still felt like they had jury-rigged it in. After Sinestro Corps War, I am beyond the shadow of a doubt happy to read. And this is something huge for me to say. I am officially happy to read a Hal Jordan book. And I won't be thinking, where is Kyle? You know, because, like, you always relate with one particular version of a character, especially in DC where there are that many legacy characters in there, and Kyle is part of that legacy. But now I have a book with Kyle in it, and the best part of it, not only is Kyle in it, but it's a book where Kyle and Guy get to team up on a regular basis. How cool is that? You know, Green Lantern Corps, that's pretty much becoming the buddy cop book for Guy and Kyle, which is great. And a solo Green Lantern book with Hal Jordan and the rest of the Green Lantern Corps involved, obviously, but mostly Hal Jordan. And I'm perfectly fine with that for the first time in my life. That's what Sinestro Corps did for me. And like you said, Brent, the same thing happened with you.
I didn't care until I read Sinestro Corps about Hal, so...
Yay.
But I think I started to care more about Hal during, like, the first 12 issues of... Of Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like Kyle. I mean, Kyle was the Lantern I read the most of in the 90s. After he rebuilt the core, I'm like, oh, and what's happening on over here now? I mean, like, it was the curiosity which came out of, like, you know, out of Rebirth, which wanted me to dig more into Kyle. So you're saying that Rebirth didn't have that same effect on you guys?
It did, but only to a certain point. You know, like, I mean, I was okay with Rebirth. I liked the story, but the entire time I still had that nagging feeling, like, damn it, they just took away my Lantern. And it took a story like this for me that to entirely leave my mind.
So, Prince, you were saying that Rebirth did not re-spark your interest into Hal Jordan, as did Sinestro Corps War?
No, because it didn't do anything for Kyle. It felt like they just shoved Kyle to the side.
So you're saying he got the Green Arrow shaft, though?
Yeah, he got the Green Shaft.
Oh, that hurts. Ouch. That hurts. Because if it turned green, you're kind of screwed.
I make a joke. Can you make it real? Why?
Oh, boy. This is going to be one of those episodes, folks. One of those episodes, you can tell already. But let's move on from Green Lantern Corps to the Bat Family, because this seems to be the year of, like, the year-long storylines. And even though this one was only, what, 3 months long, it still happened in all the books, so it sort of felt like it was a year long. This whole Return of Ra's al Ghul storyline that was started by Grant Morrison, continued via all the other books, Nightwing, Detective, Robin, surprisingly not Birds of Prey, but I guess they're not technically a Bat Family book anymore. First of all, did he have to return? And second of all, same question I've been asking about pretty much everything so far. Did it work for you as a crossover series? Did it get you interested in the Bat Family any more than you were before you read Return of Ra's al Ghul? And we'll start with Brandon.
Yeah, honestly, I knew it was inevitable that was going to happen. I mean, Ra's al Ghul is pretty much immortal, and, you know, he can return anytime any writer feels like he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would like to see a little bit more time between end of 52, where Batman's now the new Batman, and when Ra's al Ghul returns. I mean, I was reading the last couple issues, and it seems like it was quite a backstep, really, where, you know, Tim had, I believe, in most books, Tim had gotten over the loss of Connor, with Stephanie and his father and Bart, and it seems like, you know, he was moving on with his grief, and now you have this major backstep. You're like, oh, we can dangle the lashes, put it on top of him, you know, right above his head, like a little wine, and he's like, oh, I'm so emo again now. I miss Connor.
Way.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, in his other book, in his solo series, he seems so strong. He seems like a strong character now. And now,
I'm not quite sure how much I agree with that, because I mean, I have been reading Robin, and, you know, he has been strong at times, but it's still always there. Grief is always there. And actually, I think I really started feeling it, like, on the anniversary of his father's death, when they went over that in the Robin book. That was the issue when it got back up to the surface, and it never had a chance to go back down, because immediately after that, this Ra's al Ghul storyline happened.
Yeah, I see that. But, I mean, Ra's al Ghul is one of those characters where, like, you know, he's like the ultimate villain for Batman. You know, like, he was the one who put that initial rift between Batman and the League. You know,
mm-hmm.
He was the one who was always 5 steps ahead of Batman. Again, he's a major character, but I would like to see some more storyline where, you know, we actually see the Bat Family as a whole now, and not a Bat Family which is slowly becoming splintered and fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I waited so long to see, you know, such cohesive stories out of Batman. So many stories where I could walk away saying, you know, I feel a lot better for reading this book, you know?
Right.
And now it seems like, you know, they're trying to push not so much the grim and gritty Batman again. I don't think they want to do that right now. But it seems like they want to sully it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, this still feels like 1 year later Batman, though. Like, this doesn't feel like we're back to, like, the 90s where, oh, I'm so alone, no one else can love me. What about us, your adopted children? No, I don't care about you. Go away. Oh, the only one I need in my life is Alfred. He brings me my tea. You know, this isn't that Batman. This still feels like a cohesive unit. But I think after this storyline, we're going to feel even more like that. You know, more of a cohesive unit.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. Raph, let's go to you on this. Ra's al Ghul return? Yes? No? Maybe?
I knew it was going to happen eventually, and I mean, it was in pretty capable hands, and I thought it was good, but it was nowhere near as good as Sinestro Corps. It was a decent story. I think, you know what, actually, I think I'm actually a little bit less interested in the Batman Family, not because of the writing, though, but because, like, Adam Beechin is gone off Robin, and so is Freddy, and Jamal Igel's gone, and so is Wolfman, and I mean, they're changing those two, so I'm dropping that, but, so I mean, I'm dropping half the Bat books.
Right.
After Ra's al Ghul, so it's like, I mean, the story wasn't bad, it's just that some of the parts, I don't know. I mean, Robin, because Robin is written so differently in his book and in Teen Titans. Like, in Teen Titans, you get more of this Robin, the one who's like, my best friends are dead, my dad is dead, I want something in my life to fill that void. And in the Robin book, like, before that, the specific issue you were talking about, he was pretty okay. I mean, he wasn't devastated by all this. So it's like, I mean, Robin is a really mixed character for me right now. It's just, I'm glad that they're trying to reconcile it. I just wish it wasn't the gloomy Robin. You know, like, can we just have the happy Robin one?
Well, that's actually interesting. You said that you're going to be dropping the titles. I mean, you got Chuck Dixon coming back on, who is one of the main driving forces.
Oh, no, wait. Yeah, you're right. No, I am picking up Robin. I'm sorry. I just meant Nightwing.
So you're not a Beecham fan? Is that it?
No, I'm saying Nightwing for Rags Morales.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to give the first few Tomasi issues a shot. I've been looking for books to drop, and I don't know. I haven't been feeling Nightwing for a long time.
Yeah, but Tomasi, though, I mean, he seems like he might be the one.
That's why I'm giving
it. Isn't he writing the Black Adam mini?
Yes, he is, and that's been great.
Yeah, no, and that's why
that's been great.
Yeah.
And he's writing Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah, no.
Right, he's starting to write that.
Yeah, he just started writing, actually, with this first post-Sinestro Corps issue.
I do like Tomasi, and that's why I'm giving the issue a shot. I just have a feeling that I'm not going to enjoy the book.
I think afterwards you're going to come back to us and be like, I'm sorry, sir, I was so wrong, please forgive me. And I'll be like, okay, Raph, that's all right. I won't take away your noisy award.
No, I hadn't actually picked up Black Adam until, like, last week. I decided, what the hell, everyone's talking about it. I might as well get all the issues right now. I was waiting for a trade, but people just kept saying, pick it up. So I picked it up, and it's actually not that bad. So you know what? I'm just thinking about what I thought when the crossover first started. Mm-hmm. I wasn't too happy about, like, everyone leaving Nightwing and Robin. So you know what? I'm actually still picking up the book. So it's not okay. It's just I feel like I just had a bad feeling. Maybe I'm probably wrong. And you know what? I am wrong because I'm picking up the books anyway, right?
So, well, I mean, for all I know, I could be wrong, and it could turn out to not be something that I'm looking for. But I have satisfaction in the fact that Tomasi is going to be on Nightwing and that Chuck Dixon is going to be on Robin, and specifically Batista on Robin. That's right. Going to be some good fun.
Are we spoiling anything?
Yeah, sure, of course. It's a DC wrap-up, so go ahead.
Do you remember that DC Nation, let me see, which column was it? From, like, 3 weeks, like, 2-3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
It says the Christmas wish list, and for Robin it says a memorial for Stephanie Brown, can't do. Okay. And in the spoilers, I saw a spoiler mention.
Yes, but we're not certain yet whether or not that's actually Stephanie Brown. For all we know, it could just be somebody else in the spoiler outfit.
Right, so. But I'm saying I'm really looking forward to that. So right. I am pretty excited.
Oh, and actually, I guess while we're talking, Robin, what do you think of the subtle costume tweak that they just added?
I didn't know
what.
Well, first of all, he's got his old R back, pretty much. Only it's still the same coloring, but it's the old R he had on the previous outfit, the long R that actually.
So it's not the sharpened one.
Right, it's not the sharpened one. It's the one he had the last costume. So you know, more like his original.
The green costume.
Right.
The one with the green in it.
Yeah, the original Tim Drake costume one. That's the one I'm talking about. Also,
Also
they gave him a bit of a shorter cape. And it looks like it's got a little bit more of a bat feel to it and less of a Robin feel to it.
Yeah, I kind of sort of remember what you're talking about. I have to look at it again.
It's actually that outfit I'm talking about is the one that's in the ad where, like, you know, which of these will save Robin or whatever it is. The one that looks like it was done by the same intern that did the One More Day ads. But let's move on, actually, to Brent's opinions, considering he is Mr. Bat Books, after all. So what have you been thinking of Ra's al Ghul?
Oh, I've only read half of it because of the whole GCBS thing.
Right.
But so far, it's been okay. I mean, the art, I've kind of been disappointed, and I wish Tony Daniel did more of, like, the main stuff than just the prologue and that one issue. Don Kramer, of course, awesome. Kind of sad that they didn't give Freddy a time so that he could just do the other Robin issue.
Right.
Because the preview pages that I've seen for that other one, David Baldion, he's done some work on Titans and Blue Beetle, and he's not bad, but I don't know. I'm just going to miss Freddy on that. Just wondering what they're going to do next. I mean, if they brought Ra's al Ghul back now, I hope they do some interesting things with him. You know, not right away, but I don't want to see any more, oh, you must save my Lazarus pit type shit.
Yeah. I like how you're the only one on the podcast who said Ra's.
Well, I still go by the cartoon saying.
Yeah, but
that's the way they say it in Batman Begins, so I don't care.
Yeah, Ra's al Ghul, man. That's the way it is. Ra's al Ghul.
No, Ra's. Ra's, so.
Yeah. I think everybody says it differently. It's like, but tomato, tomato. Potato, potato. Ra's and Ra's.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Try the veal?
Try the veal. We had to get to another one of those, didn't we?
This is going to be one of those episodes.
It already is, dude.
Now that we've done talking about semi-successful events, what about unsuccessful? What about Amazon's attack?
Ooh.
And Flash. And Flash.
Oh, boy. I was hoping
so let's start with Flash.
Without that. Oh, crap. All right.
Lightning Saga? Or Flash?
No, Flash.
No, like the Flash.
You know,
Flash. What do you think about
the
transition?
Death of Bart Allen.
Yeah, okay.
Can I just say, ow, my spurts, is that one?
Yeah. You can say that.
Young Justice. Favorite book. Characters from Young Justice. Dying. Brandon the Likey.
Okay, but going with that, though, have you been enjoying the Wally West issues?
Yes and no.
Okay. Give me the yes and then give me the no.
I love it, yes, because Mark Waid's writing it again.
And not for long.
And I love it now that Freddy's back on the book.
That is staying, so that's actually for long.
But, I mean, it just seems like it's lost someplace. I mean, it's this great story, but I just don't know how it fits in. I mean, like, last issue you had Black Lightning using electricity powers underwater. That's my only gripe. Mm-hmm.
Well,
he can control the arc.
Yeah. It wasn't technically underwater, though, because they weren't they in, like, another, like, world or something? Like, they went through some sort of portal or something?
Portal world.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner there, gills.
Oh, boy. So what you're saying is you're enjoying it, you just don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know where it's going either, but here's my problem with it. And I am a fan of it. I like the transition for the whole Wally West thing. My problem with it, though, is that I think the whole Bart Allen thing didn't need to happen in the first place. And I've talked about this before on the show, and we've all talked about it on the show before, that those issues just didn't feel like they meant anything once Wally West came back. They could have just went a year and then just had Wally West come back, and I would have been okay with that. Another problem is that I've been liking the way these issues have been written, but the backup feature at times has been stronger than the issues themselves. And with the Doug Braithwaite art, that's been terrific. That's been beautiful. Especially with this last issue that just came out, they actually have Wally and Impulse. Again, written by Mark Waid, Wally and Impulse. And it just made me miss those times so much. You know, it just like, even reading that, I'm like, okay, I'm enjoying what's happening in the books, but I'm enjoying this so much more. Why can't we have this again? So that's my main issue with it. I'm even enjoying the kids. I think the kids are kind of cute, especially when drawn by Freddy, because they've got this youthful nature to them, which is great, because he draws great kids. But just overall, I'm kind of hoping that the next writer does a better job than what Mark Waid has done, and that pains me to say, because I'm a huge Mark Waid fan. I just don't think this has been his best work. It feels like he went back to something he shouldn't have ever came back to. And I guess other people can have their own opinions on that.
I think I'm going to drop Flash when Mark Waid leaves.
Okay.
To be quite honest, the whole handling, I mean, you heard my thoughts about the whole handling of the Bart Allen thing on our, you know, BK's Bullet special episode on Raging Bulletin on here.
Right.
But just the fact that Mark Waid is leaving now just makes me think that this wasn't really needed in the first place, and that since I was unhappy with it, I don't need to support it anymore than I have already done.
Right.
I think Mark Guggenheim was a much better Flash writer than Mark Waid's run. You know, not his past stuff, but the stuff he's been doing now.
Yeah.
The Water guys, not interested in. They don't threaten me, anything like that. Freddy's art, I think, was better than Robin, sorry to say. His Flash just, for me, just looks too muscular and doesn't look that fast. Mm-hmm. He looks like, you know, Jared before he lost all that weight.
Oh, that was cold, man. Freddie, we love you.
I love his Robin stuff, like the Blue Beetle issue he did and stuff, but man, this Flash just looks really bulky, like he's on steroids, you know?
I'm still
like he works too much on the Bowflex.
Right, and I think we talked about this the last time we talked about Flash, that like, yeah. I'm still have full faith that Freddie's still coming in his own. It's not his best stuff, all right? At least for me, but I'm still enjoying it. I just like his Robin stuff better right now, but I am a firm believer that as he continues on Flash, he's going to get better and better because it's the first couple of issues he's done with a brand new character he's never done before.
Well, I'm sure, but his Robin stuff was, you know, damn good from the first issue.
Right.
That's what I can't figure out.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a fan of Young Justice also way back when it was still going, and I supported it. I think I have the entire run except for like 5 issues, really. And I'm really upset. Yeah, so, I mean, the death of... I really don't think they needed to kill him. But then, like, you can't have 2 Flashes around, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean...
Flashes around.
I was just going to say, yeah, you can't have 2 Flashes around, right, Jay?
Well, yeah, but they're 2 different Flashes from 2 different eras. Whereas, you know, Impulse is, like, Impulse and Wally are sort of... They've existed together as different characters, so right. I don't know. That's not my justification.
Why don't you just change your statement to 3 Flashes?
Yeah, like it. I'm not. I guess they didn't want to have 3 Flashes around. So, but I mean, I don't know. Anyway, the new Flash series has been okay. I sort of like the direction they're going. I'm kind of unhappy that Mark is leaving. I mean, where does that leave us? So I'm gonna try out the first few issues with the new guy. I think it's John Rogers, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to, you know, I'll make my decision after that. But
no, it's not John Rogers, it's somebody else.
Okay. Whoever it is, Keith. I'm going to give him a shot.
No, it's not Keith Champagne. All right.
He's doing one shot. All right. But anyway, I'm going to give the new guy a shot, and then if I don't like it, I'm dropping. I might stay on just for Freddy, but if the stories are terrible, I can't help that. I can't keep reading that then. I'm just going to drop it. But if the stories are average and have Freddy's art, I'll pick it up because he promised to put Geeks Unite in the background somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Freddie, if you are listening to this, yet again, we still love you, and if you could put the Comic Timing in the background, we'd love you even more.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. All right.
The Flash Man Alive, I like that series, actually. Mm-hmm. It just seems... Take it back. I like the first 6 issues.
Okay.
I really wanted to see what Bilson and DeMeo were going to do with it.
You liked the first 6 issues? Are you high?
Honestly, yeah, I did. I really did.
Dude. Whatever you're smoking, give me some.
Yeah, because I will go back and reread those if that makes me like them.
It was different because I wanted to see how Bart would react to being, you know, all of a sudden 21 years old, with the mental capacity of a 6-year-old, and, you know, with the impulse control of a 13-year-old.
Put the monkey back on.
Exactly. It was just like this amazing mix matches of stuff that shouldn't work, but I think Bilson DeMeo got a lot of the character right of Bart, and I think although they kind of went a little wonky with the storyline, I mean, they introduced a new character when they really didn't have to, and I mean, that was being the Griffin, and I didn't like the character at all. I didn't see any potential with him at all, and I kind of used him died in at the end of their arc. But I mean, I liked it because I got to see Bart try to live. That's why I liked those first 6 issues. And I like the fact that they brought in a romantic interest for Bart. And, you know, I'm kind of sad that they kind of tore up the way they did when the second team came on. But the whole death of Bart, though, I thought was just unnecessary.
Am I getting what you're saying here, that you pretty much just said you didn't like the issues, but you liked the fact that Bart was in them?
No, I mean, I like the 6 issues, yes. And I didn't like a couple things about it, like all fanboys were going to have certain gripes of them.
Uh-huh.
Like, I like Bart in the issues, yes. I like certain characters in the issues, yes. I like the direction they were going to go with Bart up until the second team came on.
Okay.
What I liked about the second team was that he was, you know, up, trying to live up to Barry's legacy. That was the only good thing I liked about that. The rest of the stories were complete crap, though. Death of Bart, angered me in that one because it was a character who I'd seen from the very beginning, way, way back in the issue of Flash when he first appeared when Iris brought him from the future, Polly. It was him all the way through Impulse, all 70 issues, I think 78 issues.
Yeah.
And all the way through Young Justice, which I grew to love my love of Impulse, mm-hmm. and Young Justice grew up until now.
Young Justice for life.
Exactly, and to see him so pivotal in Teen Titans, I love that also.
Yet another victim of the Peter David curse.
Seriously, yes.
Mm-hmm. I want that copyrighted by Casino.
All right, fine. Let's actually hold off on Amazon's Attack for now, because actually I'm going to talk about that in the miniseries portion. But before we go there, we are talking about things that didn't work right. So let's talk Raph's favorite subject. Yep, let's talk Superman. Specifically, let's talk Superman delays. Because, oh boy, were there a bunch of them. I'm not even just talking about the main one, which was obviously the Kubert John Stoner run, but also we had delays with the Pacheco run, which I was not expecting to see. That whole, what was it? I forget the name of it. What was it? Babylon Falls or whatever it was?
Babylon Falls.
Yeah. Which I was enjoying for a while there. Buziak and Pacheco. Because anything Buziak usually turns out good. But I don't know. I just lost interest with it entirely once it disappeared. Same thing with the whole Action Comics thing disappearing for a while, and the fact that do we finally have the issue out? Because I don't even remember at this point.
No, comes out in January, February.
Okay.
TikTok.
Okay, I think I ordered it from DCBS because I didn't even bother picking it up in stores, and I usually pick up Superman titles in stores, but this wasn't going to happen for me. How badly did delays affect Superman? And right now, with Superman, we're having one of the best runs, I think, of Superman in a while, and that's the Legion of Superheroes run. But let's take that out of the picture for now, and let's just talk about how delays affected your love for Superman. And of course, we have to start the conversation with Raph here.
Unlike some fanboys who can't stand delays, I actually don't mind delays. So when I heard that Last Sun was pushed back, I said, fine. This delay is like a Heinberg-level delay, though, and I didn't like Heinberg's delay.
Can we also officially coin that phrase, by the way, the Heinberg delay?
Yes, copyright Comic Timing 2008.
Good.
There you go.
Thank you.
Right there, right there. All right.
You can't use that in Geeks Unite. I'm going to be listening.
Mm-hmm. Damn it.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm going to be listening, too. You can only use it when I'm on the show.
All right, fine.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right, but anyway, like I was saying, let's see. What did they replace the Last Sun stuff with? They replaced it with Countdown Jimmy Olsen stuff, which I don't mind, which is okay. And let's preface this. I am the ultimate Superman apologist. I'm not going to be the most reasonable person here. I loved the fill-ins. Camelot, actually, if you think about it, Camelot Falls, okay, what happened was it
Camelot
was meant...
Falls, thank you. I said Babylon yes. Falls. Camelot Falls.
Yes.
All right.
But Camelot Falls was meant for... The ending was meant for the next issue of Superman. All they did was put it in the annual coming out the following month, which was supposed to end the third Kryptonian, mm-hmm. which, by the way, wasn't that bad either. I just wasn't my favorite Superman storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think overall, if you just look at Geoff Johns' body of work, and I know you said leave out Legion, but let's include Legion just okay. for the sake of it.
Okay.
Geoff Johns has been doing great on Action Comics. Mm-hmm. He is – I love – he doesn't have a bad book. With the exception of Titans towards the end, but that wasn't really, I mean, him and Beechin were writing it. He doesn't have a bad book.
So that Bizarro arc, that whole thing on Bizarro World, that was your cup of tea?
I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't really like that either.
Okay.
It was hard to understand, but it was fun.
Actually think that the art for that, I guess, was good enough for a Bizarro arc, but it was kind of hard to follow.
Yeah. I mean, Powell isn't exactly, he's not my favorite Superman artist, but... I mean, yeah, whatever. I mean, you know, what can you do?
Mm-hmm. The reason that arc didn't work is because they couldn't figure out whether Bizarro just said am instead of me or I, or whether he talked backwards entirely, and they switched back and forth from it. Mm. That's why that arc didn't work.
Well, Bizarro always has that problem. You never – I mean, because some
no,
people...
if they would generally just fucking decide whether how, you know, Bizarro talks and set a layer of ground rules for it, then they would not have that problem. Yeah. But instead, every writer has to do it differently, and that's why the stories don't work.
Me, I'm disagreeing with
Bizarro,
you entirely.
Exactly. That's why Bizarro is not one of Superman's greatest villains.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why he's not so strong as Lex Luthor, because he doesn't have any good stories, because they're all confusing as shit, because he talks differently every time somebody writes him.
You know, I get that. I entirely get that. And that's my problem with Bizarro, too, because my general idea for Bizarro is everything he says should be the opposite of what he means. Sometimes they do that. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they go, me save Metropolis by destroying it. That doesn't make sense if he's actually destroying it.
So,
it should be, he's,
so would he actually say, me like men?
Yes.
Or okay. me no like women, okay. Or something like that.
All right,
you know,
cool.
Like something like that.
I just wanted to make sure on that, just to make sure, you know, when he talks about sexual preference that I know what he's talking about.
Yes, because that's what matters about Bizarro.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yes, exactly.
Because he drops by Starbucks to talk about being gay with you all the time.
Of course. If I went to Starbucks, that's exactly what would happen.
You know how I know you're gay? You go to Starbucks to talk about being gay with Bizarro.
You want to know how I know you're gay? You listen to Coldplay.
I don't actually. Oh. So.
I know, that's just a line from the movie.
Actually,
I know. I've seen that movie. I own that movie.
You want to know how I know you're gay? I once walked in on you baking a quiche.
You know how I know Raph is gay? He's getting mad that we're interrupting his Superman talk.
You know how I know you guys are gay? Because you do a podcast together, like, yeah.
You want to know how I know you're gay? Because you want a noisy award and you barely put out a fucking episode.
We put out more episodes than
mine,
you.
Should've been mine.
Oh man.
Oh.
All I can say is that Geek Speak episode 3 better win best single episode of 2008.
Dude, yeah, that
Did
was.
Did we
so
have
good.
Awards on that?
That was fun. Good. That was great.
It was good.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was good.
Uh huh.
It was good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Okay.
Uh huh. Yeah. It was. Okay. So anyway, yeah. Superman. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to say the All Star Superman Bizarro issues were terrific.
Yeah. In fact, you know what though? I have to make that comment. It kind of felt like they were just repeating what that already did.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because I like those a lot better.
Like, maybe they were talking about it while they were doing 52?
Maybe. I don't know. That in fact, actually, wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, I have this great idea for a Bizarro World arc. Oh, that's great, Jeff! Sucker.
Yeah, that would be I would love to have seen that. But yeah, I'd say Superman's been doing pretty good. I mean, it could have been better, but... Like Wonder Woman and like a bunch of the other books out there that have had problems, they're starting to fix that, and I'm very happy with what we have right now.
In fact, this is interesting that I just thought of this off the top of my head here. Two out of the three, big three in DC that were supposed to be fixed by 1 year later had major delays on their books in 2007.
Being Wonder Woman and...
Superman. Yeah. I mean, Batman really didn't have that many delays, except for one or two here because of Grant Morrison, but they were negligible at best. I think
that was because of Kubert.
Yeah. That is actually
delays.
Yeah, but that's just not good. I'm sorry. When you're supposed to have a big three in a comic book company, that's kind of as bad as those delays on Civil War were, because Civil War was the main book coming out of Marvel, and the big three are the big ones coming out of DC. So what the hell?
What I can't fault them for is that we didn't get, like Marvel, we missed issues of Amazing Spider-Man and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have that with DC. They put in fill-ins. Some were good, some were bad. Mm-hmm. I did not like the Grant Morrison Batman fill-in, the grotesque arc. I hated that abysmally.
What was that, the Mandrake? That was with Mandrake art, right?
Yeah, I can't stand that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, Strander and Mandrake.
There we go.
Yeah, that I did not like at all. But the Superman fill-ins were good. I mean, we got a Countdown tie-in, so they kind of didn't have to do that in Countdown, which kind of hurt that series. But I don't know. I mean, the Wonder Woman fill-ins weren't that bad. We got Amazon's Attack out of it, which was entertaining for a little bit. You know what I mean? So can't fault them for trying.
I guess. Brandon, how about you?
I don't – again, I'm saying I'm not like a real snob about delays. Yeah. But come on. I missed out on so much Superman stuff because I forgot it came out, really. That was – my problem with Superman, really.
Oh, I didn't even think of Superman Confidential.
Don't even get me started on Confidential books. I hate Confidential books now.
Yeah. Hey, I'm with you on that, and I did a freaking crossover on their first issues.
That's a rant I'll save for later, but, I mean, I honestly forgot that Donner was on Superman sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly forgot that there was a Superman book coming out on some week when I went to the shop.
Right.
That's how bad the delays got. I'm really. Now, granted, Wonder Woman had seen a lot of delays also because Heinberg. With the Action Comics annual came out, how long that's supposed to come out?
You mean the Action? Oh, that one's about 5 months late.
Yeah, exactly. That's almost a half a year where I forgot. Oh yeah, I forgot Down in the book.
Yeah.
That's not supposed to happen.
I just went to, I mean, this past week, I went to a exhibit in Montclair, New Jersey, for a museum that had this comic book exhibit. And it actually had an exhibit on the Kuberts. It had Andy, Adam, and Joe Kubert art. Original Joe Kubert, Andy, and Adam art. And up on the wall was a piece of art from Superman. I had to remind myself that Andy Kubert did Superman.
Like, what is this?
Yeah. That's not good.
No, it's not at all. I mean, this is why we, by a family, complain about, you know, no good books out. There are good books out, but they're just not coming out on time.
Right. And I mean,
what I can't figure out, though, is what happened between them working on Marvel stuff, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate X-Men, Ultimate Fantastic Four. They never worked on Spider-Man, sorry. But you know what I mean? And then they go to DC and they're so damn late all the time. They're not known for, you know, being the late brothers.
Right.
They're known for being the Kuberts who deliver solid art, you know, at a reasonable schedule.
You know what I'm going to think it is, actually? And I could be wrong on this. I'd say lead time could do a lot with it. Going from one company to another, there's going to be differences in lead time. And I think when DC hired them, they probably did not tell them right away what they were going to do with them, because I don't even think they knew. When they decided, there might not have been nearly as much lead time to catch up as they would have wanted. Because with the X-Men stuff, I know that Andy and Adam, when they were on X-Men, they had plenty of lead time coming up, because I could tell that they were just going out bam, 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 bam. With Ultimate X-Men, he was on from the beginning of the book. So obviously he's
well. Both of them were on that one book. That
right.
Probably helped too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that did help a lot. But with this one, they're on separate books, and I guarantee they did not know right away what they were going to be on when they came to DC. So that could be one of the reasons why. Again, I'm making excuses here for them, so I could be entirely wrong, but that's what my belief in this is.
I'm not too sure about that, because I was listening to one podcast where I think it was Andy who knew he was going to be on. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was Andy who knew he was going to be a Superman, and he knew the team already. And I think he had some indication of him, but I'm not sure about Adam though. Mm-hmm. I think Adam was just thrown on Batman just to be the surprise of Grant Morrison. That's why.
Right. And he still managed to get his book out on time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on from Superman, and let's actually go on to most beloved creative team of 2007. And this obviously spans the entire peninsula of DC. So whatever you want for that, go ahead and talk about it. And I believe I shall start with Brent on this one. Who was your most beloved creative team of 2007? And you can name one or two if you want, or three, or four, or five.
I'm going to say Geoff Johns and Ethan Van Sciver.
Okay.
Just because that opening salvo just slapped you in the face. You know, it was a dick slap to the face of comic-y goodness. It was so awesome. You're like, I didn't realize this could be so good.
Dude, you know what I mean? That's it. That is the official tagline. From now on, let it be known.
Comic timing, a dick slap to the face of comic-y goodness.
Yes.
Oh, you can slap the penis on the cheek.
There's always time for a dick slap to the face.
Penis comic-y on the cheek. Goodness. Penis on the cheek.
It left an imprint. It left an imprint.
Fucking Gasada.
You know what's funny? If we started at 10, it'd be like midnight.
Yeah, do you see why I started at 9?
Yeah.
Because I knew who I was having on my show. So who else other than Van Sciver and Johns did you like?
Who else did I like? I think Shane Davis is doing only one issue's been out, but Superman Batman. Mm-hmm. I like that first issue. That was really strong. I would have to say Ivan Reis in there, because he did some standout work. I think the JLA stuff's been pretty good with Ed Benes.
Mm.
Maybe not with Meltzer and stuff, but just him as an artist alone, I've really grown to like him
right. In
this past year.
Yeah.
So those would have to be my standouts.
Awesome. For me, it has been two issues, and I can already safely say that the Dodsons and Gail Simone are my favorite creative team of 2007. They barely snuck in under the wire, but literally in two issues, they made me forget all of those delays on Wonder Woman that made me hate reading Wonder Woman, because their story has just been that compelling. The Dodsons are as beautiful as always, and Gail Simone just gets the character. I mean, come on, she reintroduced Etta Candy, you know, a character who hadn't been in Wonder Woman in years and years and years, and she reintroduced her in a wonderful fashion. So I'm really enjoying that. I'm going to go Geoff Johns and Ivan Reyes as well. And I think I'm actually going to go Mark Waid and George Perez on Brave and the Bold, because that is just being old-fashioned storytelling. It feels like it could be taking place in the 70s. You know, it's just like one of those books that's timeless. You can read it anytime you want, and it'll still be fun. So those are the three that I'm going to name. And let's go to Brandon.
Mark Waid, Greg Rucka, Orson, Geoff Johns, all the host of artists on the D2. That was probably my beginning of the year. That was my high note. That was what I was. You know, I'm like, oh my god, I got to go to the shop. Is it Wednesday yet? That was one of my things I loved about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, also Batman and the Outsiders.
Huh. Good choice.
Yeah, it's close to another wire, but this is what the Outsiders should be. It feels like that 1 year later Outsiders, where it was so good because, you know, they're underground, they're under the radar still.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, you know, before they came out again. It's just like how Outsiders should be written, you know. This is spoilers, right?
Yeah.
Again, in the most recent issue, you see a freaking OMAC, man. And that, not only is he an OMAC, he's like some super souped up OMAC, man.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my god, so awesome.
Oh, and what's even more important than that is that he gets Geo-Force in literally a trade for a player to be named later. It was awesome. It was just like
he
was auditioning without even realizing it. And
yeah, that was so awesome.
And then Hawkgirl's just like, well, you said you wanted to be on a team. And he's like, eh, right, fine. Good enough for me.
My favorite scene.
Just wanted him off the JLA.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who did they trade for Geo-Force?
Nope. A player to be named later.
Oh.
That's literally the way it went. It went like one of those, you know, one of those sports trades that you don't find out for months who the next person's going to be. So for all we know, one of the outsiders could end up on it.
Batman's going to dictate who gets to go to the JLA then, because right. He's the leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically Batman. Of both teams, whether Black Canary likes it or not.
This is what he does.
You know what I love, though? Naked Batgirl. That was fun, yes.
That was a great four panels there.
Oh, and I even have to bring this up. Imagine how different the book would have been with Tony Bedard on writing.
With the whole initiative sort of thing going.
Right.
The government hates us. Yeah, I think I prefer this one.
Because Batman and the Outsiders was originally going to be written by Tony Bedard. I'm not sure if the artist was going to be the same. But
it's going to be Coy Turnbull.
There we go.
And his art style was way too stylized for me.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's Julian Lopez and this other guy.
I agree.
Taking turns like on Captain America, because they're doing great.
Doug, big play?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's the cover artist. The artist on the second issue is like in the same studio as Julian Lopez.
Okay. So it is
Dixon said on
like Captain Balloon. America, where it's just, you know, two people with similar styles just going back and forth.
Yeah.
Cool. And Chuck Dixon, obviously, on writing. And
God, yes.
I don't know what took DC so goddamn long to get Chuck Dixon back. Because he just plays in the DC playground better than anybody.
No, I disagree there.
Really?
I think the only person who gets it better is Gail Simone, honestly.
All right, okay. I'll give you that. But he's definitely one of the best out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But any other creative teams off the top of your head?
Not much, really, no. I think that's like the standout right there. Because that was... It brought back that... Oh, yeah, okay, fine. Geoff Johns, Ivan Reyes, and, you know... Because, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. Duh. Gail Simone and Mike Norton.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say them.
But, oh, okay. Oh. All right. Well, let me not steal your thunder any longer, Raph. You can go into why that was your favorite, and you can give us some other
me
also.
Am totally agreeing with you.
Whoa. Wait a minute.
Wait.
You're disagreeing with us?
Yeah, I caught up on that, Adam, and it's okay.
Okay, Brent, take care. We'll see you later.
Yeah, it's been a year, so I guess this is my last episode, huh?
Oh, burn.
I'm tired of you. Burn. Go away. Oh, if only that were true. Okay, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, well, okay. My three reasons why I love Norton and Simone on All New Adam. One, Asian.
Just because he's Asian.
Drawn.
God, that's not a reason.
So well.
That's a bias. No, that's not a reason. That's a bias.
Okay, here's why I like every Asian character ever. Number one, they're Asian. Number two, because they're not Asian. And number three, number three, next question.
We're going to delay countdown for a few weeks. Don't worry, folks. We're going to get back on track. About the action, Tommy.
Hey, how you doing? My name's Dan DiDio, and I'm here to answer some questions. So go ahead, answer. Ask me any question you want, and I'll make sure to answer it as thoroughly as possible. But just remember, we can't answer any question, because if we do, then we're going to have to give stuff away. So I'm just going to have to say next question every single thing. That's my answer.
Yes.
Yes, next question.
Scooby-Doo book, sir.
Yes or no, next question.
Do you like Batman or Superman? Yes, next question.
Yes or no, next question.
Anyway, back to All New Adam, because... Well, I'm the one that's bringing it back on track. Jesus.
The wheel's
turning
around.
It's not just the Asian superhero thing. I don't think it's that badly written, and I think the art is pretty good. I mean, I don't get why people don't like it. I really don't.
Potsy or death?
Potsy or death? The civilization on the end of my dog's ass? I mean, come on. Come on!
Okay, here is one thing that annoyed me a little bit.
Okay.
Why'd she have to bring Wonder Woman in?
I like those episodes. I like those issues.
Yeah, but that just screams, hey, I'm writing Wonder Woman now.
That's true. I mean, well, no, she planned... She planned... Oh, whatever. Yeah, she probably didn't plan
it. It's at the exact same time as she's on Wonder Woman. I mean, she obviously knew ahead of time, but all right.
Or, you know what? Maybe she got DC's permission to do it because they wanted up the sales on Adam by introducing Wonder Woman in there, and she happens to be writing Wonder Woman, yada, yada.
That's possible, but then again, they tried that on Manhunter.
Well, Manhunter's supposed to come back soon.
Yeah, but, where the hell is it? I want it back.
I don't know. Right. But anyway, Yeah, 6 month hiatus. That was in March, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it should have been out already.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, back to Adam. I think Simone and Adam. Simone, Adam, and Norton are a great combination. I'm gonna be sad to see them go. Another big favorite of mine is Grant Morrison and LSD. They make a great team.
Now by LSD, you of course mean the Legion of Soldier Demons, which he's gonna be introducing soon in Batman, right?
Completely.
Yeah.
After
good.
Ninja Bats.
Okay.
Soldier Demons.
Cool.
And DC now stands for destroy. Like I had some other. It was supposed to like characters dying.
Destroying continuity.
Yes.
No, that's Marvel.
Oh no, but Marvel. Yeah, I guess. All right, fine.
Anyway,
Marvel
but so. Jeff Johns and any artist this year has also been a favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, there's no bad book they've done.
And why is my thing going off?
Anyway.
Phone's off, people!
I would just like to point out that my phone or watch has not gone off yet.
Yes, and that's because Brent thinks ahead. Right, Raph?
Yes, that's very true. I didn't realize I had my phone on.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah,
so,
right. Unlikely excuse.
So it's Jeff Johns and everyone that he's ever worked with this year, because he really has been beaching in Freddie Williams on Robin earlier in the year, mm-hmm. and Gail Simone and Nicola Scott from the beginning of the year, because that Birds of Prey run is terrific.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the newer stuff has been good, too, but I really love Gail Simone and Nicola Scott.
Well, McKeever's had one issue on it so far, and that one issue has been great.
Yeah.
And for that matter, his Teen Titans,
What is up with McKeever, Beechin, and Bedard replacing each other on these books? Oh, yeah, I'm on it. Maybe not. Oh, yeah, I'm on this book. Maybe not. McKeever, get on here. All right.
It's like McKeever's like your standard go-to guy. Just fill him for like six spots. I don't know why.
Well, hey, now that Gail Simone is leaving and Mike Norton's leaving Adam, this just allows Mike Norton to eventually end up where he belongs on Teen Titans with Sean McKeever writing.
Actually, Eddie Barrows, who was on Adam, is now on Teen Titans, officially.
Yes, for now.
But
right.
Months,
sure.
For now. Who knows? You never know.
Gravity, which one?
Robin.
Oh,
Robin.
Paul Dini is also another favorite.
Ah, yes. Yes, Paul Dini and his cabal of people.
Not on Countdown.
Well, no, I'm talking about on like Detective Comics.
Detective?
Yeah.
See, I was going to say Detective, but Detective was a lot stronger last year than it had been this year.
Right.
With the Joker story and everything else.
Yeah, true. All right, miniseries. Let's go for favorite miniseries, and let's also go for which one sucked. Hey, I wonder which one people are going to say for the one that sucked, but let's talk, you know, both of them for both people. So go ahead. We'll start with Brandon on this one. Brandon, go ahead.
Fine, yes. Metrical, my favorite miniseries so far. I mean, it hit so many things right. It hit so many high notes. It was kind of hard for me to not like it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even also Outsider's Five of a Kind, which technically kind of was, you know.
That counts as a miniseries, yeah.
Yeah, so Five of a Kind also was really good. I like the pairings they had up with it, you know, like Metamorpho and Aquaman, heroes that you wouldn't really see compared together. I liked how he plays each hero against one another. And that Nightwing Boomerang issue was just freaking amazing also.
I think my favorite was actually the Grace Wonder Woman.
Really?
Yeah.
My favorite was the Aquaman Rex Mason one.
That was kind of fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Josh Middleton needs to do more stuff.
Yes. Yes, he does. And what was it? Thunder and Manhunter, I think? Martian Manhunter and
Martian
Thunder?
Martian Manhunter.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
She got shafted, though.
Yes. But you know, she's going to end up on the team anyway, so...
She's okay. Still in the book, damn it. What is she bitching about?
Because she's not technically on the active roster, I guess. I don't know. Favorite miniseries is actually going to go to Death of the New Gods. Because that was such a surprise for me. As I've never really been the biggest fan of Jim Starlin's work. I mean, I like his stuff, it's just never my favorite. So far with Death of the New Gods, there hasn't been one thing about this that I haven't been liking. The only thing I didn't like about Death of the New Gods had nothing to do with Death of the New Gods. It had something to do with Birds of Prey. That Birds of Prey didn't bother saying... You should read Death of the New Gods before the issue where they reveal what happened in Death of the New Gods, which wasn't exactly very nice of them. But the Death of the New Gods series in general has been really fun. They do some things in there that really, really surprise you. You've got Mr. Miracle in it as well, doing a wonderful job, and a whole bunch of Mother Boxes and Orion and Metron.
You like Mr. Miracle going emo?
Yes, I do, actually.
He's an emo Miracle.
Yes. Come on, there had to be an emo Miracle to go with the other Mr. Miracle that's running around. You had to change his character somehow. There's no reason to have two Mr. Miracles that are exactly the same.
Where's the other one?
The other one most recently showed up in... Oh, what was it? Yeah, didn't he most recently show up in Firestorm? Like the last issues of Firestorm with Orion and all that?
Did that happen after Seven Soldiers?
Yes, it did.
Okay, then I'm going to have to say yes then.
Okay.
I haven't seen him since.
Okay. Yeah, but he is still running around somewhere. But I think that was really good. Obviously, my worst would have to be Amazon's Attack. Because Amazon's Attack did absolutely nothing. That's it. That's all it did. It happened. People were like, oh, cool. Washington got blown up. Hey, read anything good in the news?
Sweet!
I mean, come on. All of Washington got fucked over, and nobody gives a shit.
I just want to know, the one good thing about Amazon Tech is I got all, I think, all 6 issues for 60 cents.
Well, good for you.
What?
Good for you, man. What was that, at CGS?
Yeah.
You lucky bastard. I paid for the first 3, and I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm buying any more issues of this. It was terrible.
Like...
I think I'd find it for 5 cents.
I bought all 6.
Oh, you poor soul.
I bought all 6. I guess it was only because of Pete Woods.
Mm.
He needs some more regular work.
Got Pete Wood?
Because the Superman Prime issue was awesome.
I love Wood.
Well, too bad.
Yeah, we know you do, because you're gay. You know how I know you're gay? You love Wood.
I was setting you up entirely for that, so thank you. And I'm trying to think. Any other really, really good miniseries I could say off the top of my head? Oh, Ion. That was technically a maxi series, but the Ion series was very, very good, and I was very glad it happened. So those are the ones I'll mention, and let's move on to Raph.
Did we talk about Black Adam yet? No.
No, we didn't.
Well, we mentioned it a little bit before with Tomasi. Tomasi surprised me, actually. He's a very good writer, and I had a lot of fun with all those, with the fight between Black Adam and, I mean, there's so many Black Adam moments, Black Adam and Hawkman. The first issue alone, I mean, Black Adam eats his follower because he has to survive, and then he cuts the guy, the ice Sasquatch thingy, the
Abominable Snowman.
Yes.
Abominable Snowman.
Yes. But there's another name for that. I forget.
Abominable Snowman.
Yeti.
Yeti. He cuts the Yeti's stomach open and uses the intestine as a rope to like dive and grab Ice's bones. That was great.
He watched way too many episodes of Survivor.
Yeah.
Turn on the tom-tom.
Oh god, it smells so bad. Oh. Anyway, so yeah, Black Adam has been very good. What else came out really? I mean, Countdown doesn't count, and we've already talked about it.
Countdown to Mystery's been pretty good.
I haven't read that.
Oh, how about Countdown to Adventure?
I read the first issue.
Yeah, surprised me as well.
Yeah.
Both of those have been really strong.
I only have one problem with Countdown to Adventure, and that's, you know, them ripping apart Animal Man's marriage for no reason.
Starfire is a damn good reason.
Yeah, but still, they've always kind of been pretty, you know, secure in their love for one another. Maybe some devil's going to show up or something. All right, let's move on.
You start hanging out with Giselle Bundchen, you don't think, and you just say that she's just a friend and I spent a year in space with her, that your girlfriend's not going to get angry?
What's the line? But E.T. with double D's.
Can we keep her?
Yeah. And they do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but that was good, and I'm trying to think what else. Oh, Wonder Girl.
Starfire, I need a sponge bath.
What about the Wonder Girl miniseries?
Haven't read that because it didn't interest me at all.
It's actually been very good.
I wanted to read it, but I missed it, though.
Yes, but you should pick it up anyway.
I think I read like an issue here or there.
Dude, pick it up at New York Comic Con for a buck.
Yeah, how about Metal Man? Was that technically a miniseries?
Yes. I didn't read it.
Yeah, it is.
How is it? I don't know.
I like it, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really did.
Cool. And you got a worst, Raph?
Worst? Amazon's Attack, I think we've all said. But we've all said what we need to say about it.
Right.
It was a nothing sort of crossover. Maybe... No, I can't really think of it. I mean, DC doesn't... it's funny, DC has come out with so many miniseries and all that. I haven't read a lot of them. Hmm. But there's also a lot of one-shots,
right,
too, like with Countdown related. I guess some of them were good, some of them were bad, too, but I
guess
haven't
you,
really...
You can group together all, I guess, the Countdown Ray Palmer stuff?
Yeah, I guess, and in that case, I mean, that also was hit and miss. I mean, I like the Crime Society one. Mm-hmm. The Wildstorm one wasn't too bad, but... I mean, I didn't really want to read the others, so I can't really say anything other than that.
What about Arena?
Oh, Countdown Arena has been fantastic. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
I told myself I would not pick that up. I picked up the first issue, and I'm like, I need the rest of this. That was so great. It totally blew me out of the water. I was so surprised. I thought I was going to hate it, and it was
I can't
was
wait
great.
To read that, then.
Yeah. Really, really good.
I cannot wait to read that.
I hope you agree with me, because it is... It's like a dream team, pretty much. And it's so much fun watching, you know, like Green Lantern beat up Green Lantern, beat up Green Lantern, beat up Green Lantern. You know? And it's not just Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Superman, and
Batman.
But they also have Blue Beetle. They have Stargirl / Starman. What's the Shadow one from Shadow Pact?
What's your face?
Yeah, what's her face? There we go. That's her name. What's her face? And a couple others here and there that they have, you know, fights with and all that. But it's really, really good. So you'll enjoy that.
Hello?
Brent, you want to pick your best and worst?
My best, I would have to say, the one that I'm enjoying is Black Adam, by far. Came out of nowhere, a total surprise for me. I picked up the first issue just to check it out. I was, you know, I was going to wait for the trade, maybe read it in Barnes & Noble for free, stuff like that. But I got it, and then I got the second issue, and then my brother read them and said, you have to get this. And then from there on, I've just been loving it and enjoying it, especially when he beat the shit out of Hawkman. I'm sorry, Sean. Hawkman did not win. No way.
Yeah, well.
Sorry.
It's okay. He kind of had it coming.
Yeah. He had it coming. Anyway, my worst would be Flash Fastest Man Alive, just because of what they did to it. Because it was so good when Mark Guggenheim came on. And Amazon's Attack. I've already said my thoughts on that on a special edition of BK's Bullets. Go check it out on Raging Bullets. I'm sorry, Sean and Jim. They still haven't convinced me that there's any good part to that.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with Best New Series. What was A Sight for Sore Eyes? And which one were you like, why the hell does this exist? And let's go first with me. All right. Best New Series. Booster Gold. I don't even need to explain it, I think, because it is just the awesome. That's how I will explain Booster Gold to you all. It is the awesome. End of story. That's all you need to know. Pick it up if you're not picking it up. And great art and great story and plenty of skeets and plenty of Booster. So, and time travel and alternate realities and all that crap. So I'm very
awesome.
Happy about it. And awesome. Yes, that's true. Now, what left me scratching my head? Let me scratch my head a little bit. I don't know if there's really anything that really left me scratching my head this year for DC. Except for, I guess, maybe Countdown to Mystery. Because I've heard some good things about it, but I'm just not interested.
I think Countdown to Mystery is great.
Well, again, I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But I've never really been that incited about Dr. Fate. And especially after, like, the fall start, I know it was because of health reasons that they were going to do a Dr. Fate series and it then became Countdown to Mystery, but I just don't see a reason to pick it up.
Giustiniano on art?
Yeah, but, you know, I'll see him in the next thing he's on.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, you know, you're into what you're into, and it's just not something I'm into. Bren, you're up.
What are we doing, best new series?
Yeah, best and worst new series.
What came out other than Booster Gold and the Countdown ones?
Let's see.
Well, Mirror of Black Canary?
Yeah, there we go.
Batman and the Outsiders?
Yeah. Technically, you could still count stuff like Blue Beetle.
Oh, Salvation Run and stuff.
Salvation Run and Blue Beetle and stuff, because it's still sort of newish.
Well, of the Countdown and the, I'm trying to think, the 52 Aftermath, I'd have to say Booster Gold. You know, that was a surprise to me, too. I wasn't expecting to like it as much as I did. Mm-hmm. And then I think by the third issue, I was like, this title is just awesome. Just plain old awesome.
Yeah. Was the third issue when with Jonah Hex, or was that issue two?
That was two.
That was two, okay.
Third one, I don't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah, because Booster Gold getting drunk with Jonah Hex is good times.
Yeah, that was funny.
You got a worst?
Worst. God, I can't even. I guess Amazon's Attack and Flash.
Yeah, but Amazon's Attack doesn't count. Uh-huh. And Flash doesn't count because you just said those were miniseries.
Oh, fucking hate it, man. Let me think.
It's got to be something.
I guess.
Well, okay, what started?
Nightwing.
Okay, alright. But that's not a new series.
Nightwing.
That's not a new series.
Because. Oh.
It's not a new series, dude. Come on. There's got to be something that you started this year that you were like, eh, no thanks, and moved on.
I'm going to previews. Let me see.
Countdown.
Okay.
I haven't moved on, but, you know, that's the worst one I'm reading.
That's fine. I mean, that works. That's a new series, so there you go. Let's move it over to Raph, who's looking through previews.
Yeah, I needed to think about it. Okay. Well, you guys said Booster Gold, and I can't. I'm gonna give another book a shout out. Then Simon Dark.
There you go.
I love Simon Dark. I was afraid because Stephen Alice did Creeper, and that wasn't that great. But Simon Dark, it's, you know, if they took Gotham out of it and made it like a dark, spooky city, I would have been fine with it. It's a nice character. It's an interesting character, and I'm really fascinated to see what happens with him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of mystery around it, and it has that classic feel of like superheroes. You know, like in the beginning, you didn't know you didn't know the origin story. You didn't know how everything developed. You just sort of were thrown into the middle of it, and I don't mind doing that. That's a lot of fun. So yeah, that's my favorite. My least favorite, and I did pick up like the first three issues, and I totally regret picking them up. Infinity Inc.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell?
I'm still wondering why I'm picking that book up.
Yeah, because like, they're all in therapy. I didn't even finish reading the third one. They were all in therapy, and, like, they're all getting killed or something.
You know what I considered like, it? What? If, like, Dr. Katz, professional therapist, happened in Superhero Land.
Yeah.
Because that's
and
what it
I
felt
just
like.
I wasn't into that.
I don't know.
Yeah, felt that.
Wasn't into that at all.
See, I'm drawn to it for Steel. Because I like Steel. I even like Natasha. But the rest of the characters in that are just sort of there. But my favorite character is definitely the one that becomes a woman. The guy who... Yeah, there's a guy in that whose ability is he transforms into a woman. And the woman is, like, super powerful and super strong and all that. And this other character in the book, who has, like, the worst multiple personality disorder, even worse than him, where he literally becomes more obnoxious versions of himself, has the hots on the female version of this dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's skeevy. Very, very skeevy. But there also was one moment where Natasha turned to him and went, so do you have to worry about, like, that time in a month?
No, he can just change back.
That's very true.
Oh, man. But, yeah, that is kind of fun, but I can understand why you would put that as your negative. Brandon.
Jeez. Best new series this year, I think. Not really new. Well, yeah, let me go with, honestly, have you started reading Teen Titans yet, the year one?
Just got it in my DCBS.
Yes, I mean.
What drew me that one was, I haven't got a chance to read through all of it, but what drew me that was the cover art, because you see Aqualad coming out of the puddle of water with, like, the gills and the gray skin looking all freaky. I'm like, I gotta go read that now.
Emo Aqualad.
I'm a freak, what can I say? Aqual Sam and the Freedom Fighters Part 2, also, I think.
There we go.
Like, well, not new, but, you know, close enough to being new.
Yeah, new, close enough to new, right.
And my least favorite this year? Don't know. I mean, there hasn't been that much of a letdown, except for a couple of things. Really, Crisis has been in with me for the most part. I like it, but there's something else to come from it.
Mm-hmm.
And add on to my good list, again, Gold, because that was amazingly good.
Yes.
I love Booster Gold. I want to marry Booster Gold one day.
I'm sorry, that's not legal.
Why not?
It's just not. You can't marry a piece of paper.
But I love it, though. I want to have babies with it.
Maybe in, like, Tahiti or something. I don't know.
It's legal in West Virginia, though.
Anything's legal in West Virginia, though. Anybody who's listening in West Virginia who wants to send hate mail, my name is Brent Cassina.
You can find me at geeksunite@freewebs.com.
I've used that joke already.
I'm loving Ian's team.
Twice. That's twice.
In and around Gabbix.
They don't say that anymore.
I know. Who here read Lord Havoc and the Extremist?
Didn't. Nope.
Okay, because if you guys have read my rant timing number 2, that was actually on, like, a comparison between Supreme Power and Lord Havoc and the Extremist, because you've got both companies' versions of the opposite company. Because Lord Havoc and the Extremists are pretty much the... Well, they're not, but the Meta Militia inside of there are DC
it's
version
a militia.
Of... No. It's actually Meta.
It's a militia.
It's Meta Militia. Not with an L.
Well, they don't pronounce the L's in that song, so it's the same thing.
Okay, cool. But
it's a militia!
It's DC's version of Marvel, pretty much. To the
no,
point
it's of Metallica.
Oh, jeez.
Like a wasp, also. Like a Thor.
Yeah, but my favorite, they actually have a character named Tin Man.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of Iron Man. And Tin Man ran for president and won, and now he has a Metahuman Registration Act.
Is he a douchebag?
Mm-hmm.
Womp, womp, womp.
Oh, and America Mando.
So who are Lord Havoc and
supposed to be?
Lord Havoc and
the
Extremists are just like the villains of that. The world is USA, but it's like the United States of Argon or something like that. Because the original world they were from was Argon or something along those lines.
And they just took over Earth, or what?
No, it's just, that's just there. That's just a world. That's it. That's Earth in that universe.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to pass.
It's good. I like it.
I'm going to take
him in the tree.
Yeah, where's the paper boy?
I'll give it a month. A month.
What happened to that nice paper boy?
Anyway, we got
come back,
next question.
You, come back, you piggly son bitch.
Next question.
Yes or no, yes or no. All right. Before I ask you guys the last two questions on the list here, let's actually go to the forum comments. So, Brent, get ready for that.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Ready, ready.
All right, so we're going to start.
I'm always ready, baby.
We're going to thank you very much for that. You can find Brent in Army of Darkness. All right. Here is Matthew Guy with his comments on DC. Countdown is a big letdown as an event. The miniseries are hit or miss, but I have learned a valuable lesson for the third weekly series. Unless it's Superman Weekly tie-in, it will get the wait for the trade treatment. Dan DiDio and Bob Wayne, I'm not your moneymaker anymore. Shake your moneymaker! Ra's al Ghul was a so-so event for my taste, and as for the Last Sun finale, I'm still waiting for the annual from you, Kubert. Tick-tock.
Tick-tock.
Tick-tock. Tick. I will still support Superman titles, but be wary of people named Kubert and things that end in confidential. I was ticked off by the delays on the big books from both companies, but I just supported indies more in its place, which is a good thing to do. I look forward to Geoff Johns' big plans for Superman's 70th birthday, Smallville's return to buy more Superman, Batman and DCU trades in 2008 and 2009 to fill my bookcase, and be more cautious of my buying of issues as we enter the final crisis and post-final crisis era of the DCU. I want to try more Vertigo and Wildstorm, like Exterminators, Wildstorm horror miniseries. As for Marvel, it is down to Cap, She-Hulk, Criminal, X-Men, and Wolverine First Class. Joe Q's One More Buck event made me lose all faith in Spider-Man and his future. The three bright spots in the DCU are Sinestro Corps War event, Green Arrow, old series / wedding / new series, and from Wildstorm, Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash is a kick-ass miniseries that continues after Freddy vs. Jason. As for what Final Crisis will lead to, I have no idea, but I hope after 2008, the DC event train pulls in for a complete stop, because I am suffering from DC event fatigue and getting more enjoyment from indies because of little to no continuity baggage. The must-buy item of 08 will be Absolute Justice. And that's Matthew Guy. And Absolute Justice, I might be swayed to buy, because that was pretty. It was very pretty. I like it.
I just want to say, speaking of event fatigue and Alex Ross, mm-hmm. I listened to the Around Comics episode today, and he was bitching about how DC has event after event after event. And I almost want to argue that it's not true.
Okay.
I know we had Amazon's attack and Sinestro Corps, but Sinestro Corps was, by and large, just contained to two books. So I don't know if you would call that a miniseries or an event as much as a crossover. Same thing with Amazon's attack, where it kind of crossed over to Teen Titans, but you didn't need those. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just based on Infinite Crisis and Civil War.
Technically, Amazon's attack was just a miniseries with some tie-ins, really. I mean, like you said, you didn't need to read other tie-ins. You could have just read Amazon's attack. You would have been fine.
And well, you would have been hella confused, but, you know.
Well, that's also how I felt about reading, like, Teen Titans and not reading Amazon's Attack. You know, because, certain events were happening in that where I was just like, okay, I'm just going to read this issue, and maybe I'll find that eventually.
And I really don't see Countdown as an event. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a book.
I just see it as it's a book. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't think I think DC's been good with not having any big events year after year. Unlike Marvel. It's going to have three in a row here. Almost four, you know. Didn't House of M take place right before Civil War?
And yet I keep on coming. Isn't it sad? All right. Let's move on from there. You got one from Torch Song?
Yeah, I do. Torch Song. There's only two things about DC in 2007. Longtime Captain Marvel fan, talking Shazam here, and while I realize change is inevitable, I think they've completely screwed the pooch with both Trials of Shazam and Countdown. Attempts to make Cap more grim and gritty denies the very nature of what a Captain Marvel story should be. Fun, damn it. If this is what I'm going to be expecting from future Marvel Family Adventures, well, that sounds like another company.
Yes, Marvel Family Adventures.
Well, my wallet's going to be happier anyhow. As for what they're doing to Mary, unless they plan a retcon later on, it is nigh unforgivable. Of the big three, Mary was frickin' brains of the outfit, way more apt to use her wisdom than the other two. Couple that with the fact that, at least with the Ordway rewrite, which I loved, she never really wanted the power in the first place, but made the best with the power and responsibility given to her. Peter Parker! So she's totally out of character in Countdown, now that I wonder if anyone on that book ever picked up a Shazam title. That's my big thumbs down DC in 2007. Big thumbs up is Sinestro Corps. I love the space epics, but was never huge into the Green Lantern side of things. Now it looks like DC's going to drag me into that fold. Not necessarily kicking and screaming, mind you, but I'll be picking up this book in hardcover and have it picked up scattered single issues along the way. I'm looking forward to seeing what the different rings are going to represent. Good job, DC. You got me to pick up a title I wouldn't have picked up otherwise. I wish my favorite publisher wasn't so damn schizo.
I think that the Purple Lanterns are going to have some trouble. That's all I'm saying. You know,
are they going to have? I just want to know if they're going to have matching handbags.
They might actually.
To talk about Trials of Shazam, is anybody reading that?
Yeah, I'm reading it.
I'm still reading it, sadly.
Well, every time it comes out, I remember why I like that book. So I have to disagree with Torch Song right there.
But here's the thing, though. You're saying every time it comes out, it comes out way too infrequently.
That's because Howard Porter had a hand injury. But now that they've got this new guy on, it's been coming out every month.
Mm-hmm.
Last month it's been on time. Oh, shit.
I barely even realized they changed artists.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. You can barely realize it. He's got the same kind of similar style. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a little more detailed than Howard Porter and stuff, but, you know, I'm not missing Howard Porter, and I thought I would be.
Every time anybody says Howard Porter, I think that that's a beer.
Have a Howard Porter, please.
Hold on, let me look up the artist on it.
Okay.
I know it's two C's.
Chris Kringle. Like... No.
You're a funny man.
Oh, be so silly.
Mauro Cassioli is the new artist on there, and I think he's doing a great job. So I'm loving that book whenever it comes out.
Yeah, but it would be nice, though, to actually find out, you know, what happens with the Marvel family, because we haven't been finding that anywhere else, and we've had some appearances of the Marvels, and yet they've still been very vague. I guess waiting for this to finally be over.
What about All-Star Batman?
Ugh.
You don't like it?
There.
Dude.
Ever since they came back, I like that book.
You know I stopped picking that book up. I'm not going to pick it up.
You did, for real?
Again. Yeah, dude, I stopped picking up the issue before the whole whole Batcave thing. I was like, you know what? I'm sorry. This is just not for me.
You picked it up in Black Canary? That one stupid little one-shot?
That one stupid little one-shot, and I'm like, thank you, I'm done.
We left our masks on. It was better that way.
I stopped reading after Wonder Woman was introduced.
Yeah.
Sperm Banks.
I like the goddamn sex.
Goddamn Sperm Banks.
She was like freaking
Well, I'm still reading it, but I guess I'm the bad fan.
Yes, you are the bad fan.
I'm reading it. I like making fun of it.
Are you just
time.
Waiting for like All-Star Azrael to be introduced? Is that it?
Oh
no,
my
no.
God, that'd be awesome. That'd be
amazing. At least I don't preface every sentence as I'm the Batman apologist.
That's very true.
That time was in Ian.
That's very true.
Wait a second here. What the
Seriously, hold on.
What the fuck, man?
What?
Wait, what? Who prefaces their things with I'm the blank apologist?
Raph.
Oh, yeah. Raph, okay, alright.
He said it was very true.
Okay.
Very true.
Yeah.
Have you read Ian, remember the scene in Countdown where all three Green Lanterns get together?
Yeah.
And like, who are you? He's like, I'm the goddamn Green Lantern.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Wait, which issue is that?
Issue 2, I think it was, of Countdown Arena.
Yeah. Oh, Arena. I'll go get that.
Well, thing. Actually, I have a question here, and I'm not sure whether or not I'm right on this, but in Countdown Arena, is the main Superman that looks the most like our Superman, is that actually Dark Knight Returns Superman?
That's the one from Superman Batman, apparently.
No, that's the one. No,
that's what it said on the website.
Also.
Yeah, but what is that Superman from? What Superman Batman arc?
He's
is that?
Superman from. No, I think
from the first one. Public Enemies and the second one too, I think, or the last one.
Wait, is that the one where like they changed the world where they're like
the rulers of the world?
No. It's from the first one, Public Enemies. Remember, he showed up and was like, "You have to save the world" or something like that.
The Kingdom Come one.
Yeah,
the one
but
that
then
looks like the Kingdom Come one.
He had the Kingdom Come logo, didn't he?
Yeah, but now he's back to a regular logo.
All right, I'm sorry. I like that a lot less.
I don't think he had the Kingdom Come logo.
Yes, he did, dude. The first couple times he showed up, he did.
He had a black S. I remember that. I don't remember if it was Kingdom Come.
It was. It definitely was. I remember that visual very, very well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
Let me check.
Because they even came out with a figure. I don't know if you remember. They came out with an action figure.
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
With the Kingdom Come logo.
All right, well, they need to get his logo straight.
Yeah.
But I guess they can't because Kingdom Come Superman is around.
I guess. I don't know. But okay, so that's who that is. Well, thank you for clearing that up because I had no idea. Because they were very vague about his world. So, but he seems like an interesting character.
We haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen his world yet.
Right. All I know about his world is that he talks to the president on a Bluetooth headset. And then,
which is kind of like Dark Knight Returns, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why I'm thinking that
it
might
is
actually
Dark Knight
be what
Returns.
That
is. He's from Earth 31.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The Dark Knight Returns world and also the world of Batman and Robin All-Star.
So, wow, that is actually it. I was actually right. Wow.
My God, yeah.
Where does it say that? Dark Knight Returns world? What?
Yeah.
Where does it say that?
Look on Wikipedia. Earth 31 is the Dark Knight, is the Dark Knight Strikes Again and the Dark Knight Returns world.
I don't like that New Frontier gets its own world and so does Dark Knight. I don't like
Why
that.
Not?
They're not Elseworlds, goddammit.
Yes,
come
they
on.
Are. Well, they
and
are.
They're not that similar.
Yeah.
They're not that different. Well, that's my thing. They're not that different.
Yes, they are, dude.
Give me something different.
I don't know. One of them happened in the Silver Age and one of them happened, like, not even close to the Silver Age.
Yeah, one takes place during World War II. That's why.
Yeah. If Dark Knight Returns took place in the same universe as New Frontier, Batman would have been like 92 when Dark Knight Returns
took place. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, what are you saying?
I'm saying that New Frontier doesn't deserve its own world just because it was a damn good miniseries.
Well, okay, we've got Earth 2, which
What's
is...
What's so different about New Frontier than our world?
Look. Hear me out here, okay? Hear me out here, all right? Earth 2 right now is pretty much what would have happened if the Golden Age universe was, you know, aging at the same time as it should have. That's what Earth 2 is.
Correct.
With New Frontier, their time works different than ours, just like a lot of the worlds does, and that's actually in the Silver Age right now. Okay? Our world, our current superhero world, never had a Silver Age. They all started back in, like, the 70s and 80s, and possibly even the 90s at this point. So they never got to be around when JFK was around. They never got to be around when the wars were happening. Because these superheroes went through that, especially Superman and Wonder Woman. They went through World War II. So that's what makes it significant. That's what makes it different. That's why it should have its own world.
Okay. I don't know, it just doesn't seem that different. I want the characters to be different, you know what I mean? Not the time.
Right. And I think they are different. If you look at the way they walk and talk and act, they are different. So, who knows? Maybe I'll swing you once we start to see more of their world. Because there is a one-shot coming out in the New Frontier world once the DVD hits, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. And I got Absolute New Frontier, yay!
What, you did?
Yep. For Xmas. All right, let's move
Can
on.
Can I just say that we're going to do a DVD review of Absolute or New Frontier?
You're damn right we are.
All right, cool.
All right. Okay, Atomic 99. I'm going to skip the questions considering I asked them already. I love 52 but didn't pick up Countdown. So on that level, I would answer no to if the expectations lived up because they failed to sell me on picking up the book. I'm event fatigued, but if it is good, then why not do it for Sinestro War? For Ra's al Ghul, I haven't regularly purchased a Batman title in years. I'm just so tired of the character. For Superman, backed up storylines and dropped sales. Bothered by delays, while others drop books over delays, I usually don't mind the delays if they are minimal amounts of time. For me, it is all relative to the quality of the book. All-Star Superman, worth the wait. Heimberg delayed Wonder Woman, pushing it. Kevin Smith's Black Cat, intolerable. What storylines are you looking forward to in 08? Kingdom Come, Superman, and JSA. I would certainly agree with that. Most beloved creative team of 2007, Johns and Eaglesham on Justice Society. That's one we didn't mention.
Yeah, I did.
We did?
Johns and everyone he's working
with. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I forgot. Plus, your list also includes, like, Johns and the guy who he worked for, like, back when he was 15.
That's true.
Yeah, you know,
but
like,
that doesn't mean it's all-inclusive.
When Jeff Johns worked in a bakery, you know, the guy who made the bread, he was really,
yes,
really good.
He bought
best comic team in 2008.
Uh-huh. All right, list your least favorite DC, such and such and such favorite, Justice Society of America, Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters, least, Teen Titans. Dropped as of this month after 4 years. Wow. I guess we're looking for two different things out of the book, I guess. Sight for Sore Eyes and Scratching Your Head, new Freedom Fighters series, dropped over the art. And finally, what final crisis are we counting down to? I hope not the end of the multiverse. They just spent so much time and effort bringing it back, and we barely had time to play in it. Maybe they were going to go with the rumored Morrison idea of the death of Bruce Wayne, but are now left scrambling to change that after corporate put the kibosh on it? I'm not sure. To be honest, I'm rolling my eyes over the ideas of another crisis so soon, and I doubt it will be the last. And DC has yet to sell me on picking this up. Yeah, after this, they're going to have Ultimate Final Super Mega Hyper Crisis number 4.
That sounds Japanese.
It is, actually. Everybody's going to turn Japanese.
Turning Japanese? I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so.
Do, 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 do. All right. Let's move on to Goethe, co-host of Amazing Spidercast, and he was on last episode. Brent.
Chris says, Countdown. Did not read 52, so I'll give you my thoughts on Countdown. I enjoy it, but it doesn't blow my socks off. I think it may be important not to reading 52 because I noticed a lot of negative response to it. The storyline I enjoyed most was the Piper Trickster one. The interaction between the two of them was the best part of whichever issue they appeared. My least favorite is probably Mary Marvel. Just seemed to be an excuse for a panty shot every issue. How can you complain? He's like my age. The period where I actually hated an issue was when they brought Super Why I Never Got So Laid. Oh, Destroy the Universe, Prime. hate that character a great deal.
Best. Okay, that's it. From now on. We've had a lot of from now ons in this episode, but that is it. From now on, Superman Prime is officially known as Super Why I Never Got Laid, so now I'll destroy the universe, Prime.
Maybe that'll be our new slogan. Comic timing home of Super Why I Never Got Laid, so now I'll destroy the universe, Prime. Hate that character a great deal. Then they killed off the Trickster. Oh, shit. I didn't read that issue yet.
Well.
And my favorite... I knew that anyway. And my favorite storyline hit the skids quite a bit. At most recent issue, 18, was the series' best. I'm hoping it's a sign the rest will be as good. My favorite part of Countdown is the aspect of a weekly series. I love it. Give me more. Oh, yeah. Spoiler warning, Brent. You're behind. Sinestro War.
Wow, I can't believe that the entire Final Crisis was just the Earth turning to cheese.
They should call the next crisis Definite Crisis. Then we can just abbreviate it DC. Post-DC universe.
Wait a minute. You just officially decided also what DC stands for. Definitely Crisis.
Definitely crisis.
52. Got that. Crisis. 50 crisis. All right.
Sinestro Corps. Hell yes. Sinestro Corps War was the best story of the year, and Green Lantern 25 was the best issue of the year. I don't think Geoff Johns can do anything wrong with the title. I'm more pumped for Blackest Night than any event this year. Being like one more day. Huh. Ra's al Ghul.
Fucking Quesada.
Yeah, mental image.
I hate you.
I know you do. All right, Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul, whichever one you prefer.
I'm actually going to go with Ra apostrophe S al Ghul. Yeah, Ross.
Rorschach was a good storyline until the final two parts. They seemed to me a bit rushed to finish, but when they had another Bat title in the month, they could have used Batman itself, which it wouldn't bother me. The major issue for me was inconsistency in how the decaying Ross was drawn from title to title. Quite off-putting. Overall, it was a pretty good storyline, though I'm still sticking to Bats and Detective and not picking up the other two titles. Superman delays. I only pick up Action and All-Star, and I didn't mind the wait on either. I really don't have that big of a problem with delays. The books will come out when they come out. Especially didn't have a problem with Actions, as Adam Kubert's art blew me away the first time I saw it, and so did each issue. And now I get a double-sized annual of it, which sounds worth it to me. Nah. Storylines I'm looking forward to in 2008. Final Crisis, All-Star Team, and I can't wait to find out what it's about. In the next weekly series, word is Bagley will be on it. Will he be doing every issue? Probably not, but I bet he could.
If he does, I am reading that series. It has been decided, especially if, from the sounds of things, they are telling the truth about Kurt Busiek. Because if it's Busiek and Bagley back together, I'm happy.
B&B, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Knight, he can't wait for that movie. All right. Most beloved creative teams in 2007, Geoff Johns and Ivan Reis. Favorite and least DC Comics. Favorite, Green Lantern 25, enough said. That's a Marvel expression on a DC thing. I don't know if that works.
Well, anyway. you're allowed one more of those.
Okay. Well, he's allowed.
Yeah.
He gets one. Yeah. Least favorite, Countdown 24. No. Super Quesada Prime, get out of my comic, bad.
What? Yeah, Super Quesada Prime, because he wants to destroy everything.
Oh,
all right, no more Marvel things, Coyote. Okay. Best Mini. I can't pronounce his fucking name. Chris Johnson.
Yeah, there we go.
Still going on, but The Death of New Gods, great art and great story. Don't know much about the New Gods, but I'm sure the mere concept rubs the shared fans the wrong way.
They're newer than
Spidey
the old
fan,
gods.
I can relate. He says he can relate as a Spidey fan.
Yeah.
New series, Sight for Sore Eyes. First issue covered in December 06, but I picked it up in 07. Batman Confidential. Yowza. Really?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Scratching my head. Superman Confidential. Huh? Where's my conclusion? Issue 6 is now issue 11. And finally, what is Final Crisis are we counting down to? Lois is shot by a sniper after Clark reveals he's Superman, and Clark wears the black Superman suit to kill the guy who hired the shooter, Lex Luthor, Natch. Only he doesn't. He just kicks his ass, and Clark broods until the final issue when Mr. Mixelplick shows up and saves Lois in exchange for Clark and Bruce's partnership. And then, oh wait, never mind. That's a good one, Chris Johnson. Whose screen name I can't pronounce.
Fucking Quesada.
It's quite.
Yeah. Mental image! I must say, as a hardcore Marvel zombie, that enjoyed DC's books more than Marvel's in 2007. Wow. Green Lantern, JSA, Bush to Gold, Brave and the Bold, Batman, so many great titles, and I find Marvel only having a couple that stood out as great. Looking forward to 2008. Question for the gang. Is Justice Society of America better than Justice League of America? Agree?
I'm going to go with agree on that one. I think JSA is better.
Yar.
Yar?
Yar.
Ah. Yeah, JSA or JLA?
I honestly don't. I mean, jeez. I want to say JSA, but JLA with the whole Unlimited thing, I don't know. I mean, I want to say JSA, but JLA has been good, so it's hard. That's why it took me. I was thinking about my answer.
Okay.
I'll just say, I don't know. I mean, really, JLA is so good.
Yes, but lately. JSA is so much better.
It is, and it's just, but... All right, you know, Kingdom Come Superman.
I totally trapped you, dude. I trapped you so bad, and you just admitted it.
Kingdom Come Superman. Kingdom Come Superman is the deal breaker. I do like Kingdom Come Superman a lot, so yeah. I'll give it to GSA.
Yeah, here's some post from some dude who has some really weird Superman and Flash signature.
I think DC is cool and neat, and I like it.
DC is cool and neat, and it's nice, and I like it. Wait,
Did I mention I'm a Superman apologist?
wait, hold on. Actually, wait. I think DC is cool and neat, and it's nice, and I like it.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Raph, why don't you read that guy's post?
I think DC is cool and neat, and it's nice, and I like it.
That totally didn't sound like him.
No, that didn't sound like the guy that wrote it. No way.
No, terrible.
No.
Okay. Geeks Unite, check it out.
Whatever noise you roared, have that get in there. All right, the Dyslexicon says, it's from Boston, Jamaica Plain, whatever that is.
That would be Boston.
It says Jamaica Plain after that, though.
Yeah, no, that's just the Jamaica Plains portion of Boston.
There's a Jamaica portion of Boston?
Yes. Just like there's a Jamaica portion of Queens.
There is?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Learn something new every time here on Comic Timing.
Yep. In fact, Brent's moving to
Brent's
Jamaica.
Brent's quest for knowledge.
Yeah. Brent's moving to Jamaica. He's going to smoke the ganja, Mom.
He is?
No.
I
was going to say, that's news to me.
Toke it up. All right, come on.
What? Well, I'm not seeing much difference between Marvel and DC these days. Both are event machines. Both have late books. But both companies have one writer who is putting out a great deal of content, really kicking butt and taking names. Johns and Brian Michael Bendis. I dropped the countdown when I reached a 6-month point and realized the story had progressed to the point of promotional posters. Eclipso has maintained manipulating Mary Marvel, and yeah, the stunt worked better as a poster 8 months ago. What I would like to see, give your good writers room to breathe. Let them get characters into worlds. Sinestro Corps would not have worked as well if Johns hadn't had the time to build towards it. I want to be reading Buster Gold in 25 in a couple of years.
Booster
Let
Gold.
Morrison take his time on Batman. It says Buster.
He meant Buster. I mean, he meant
Booster.
Oh,
they know. They know.
Okay.
But you know. Who should coats?
Juno, out in theaters right now. I want to be reading Booster Gold 25 in a couple of years. Let Morrison take his time on Batman. Then after 3 or 4 years, if you want to have a big cross-company crossover, it means something. And that's the Dyslexicon, brought to you by everybody on the show. So thank you, Dyslexicon, for that. And I very much hope to be reading Booster Gold in a couple of years as well. And I'm certain
I want to read Buster Gold.
Buster Gold sounds like it could be fun. Yeah, that's like Buster.
It sounds like a porno mag.
Oh, jeez. Thank you very much for that. We really needed to hear that. That's terrific.
This is why you have me as a co-host, remember?
Yeah, right.
I can crack all the immature jokes that you wish you could.
You said poop.
Because you're the host and I'm the co-host.
All right, let's finish this off, guys, with a combo statement here. What are you looking forward to in 08, and what is Final Crisis? And we will begin with Silent Brandon.
All right, thanks, Brandon.
All right, great. Yes. All right. Yeah, come on, Brandon.
All right, I want to see in 08 a color war, pretty much, between Green Lanterns. Lantern Color War. That's what I really want to see the most right now. You know, I just want to see an all-out epic space battle between green, blue, black, red, orange, purple, and indigo. I just want to see that massive Star Wars-esque, you know, one side not really gaining any ground, just massive dragged-out battles for months on end.
Can they call it the Roy G. Biv War?
Yeah. Roy G. Bivolo.
Yes.
Greater. Ultimate weapon.
And what is Final Crisis?
Final Crisis is beginning with the first planet and ending with Commandy's the last planet. I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't know. I hope it's just the end of, like, you know, or at least for a time, of not just the crossover events, but, like, you know, I hope it just brings a definite meaning to the
crisis.
No, not a crisis per se. I mean, we already have enough crises. We've broken up things before. I just want to see them glue things back together. That's what the crisis should be. It's the gluing of the DC universe. It's the actual setting the mold and how it's going to be for years on end.
I think that makes sense. Raph?
What I'm looking for in 2008, more development with the Green Lantern story, everything. I mean, Batman, continuation of the Kingdom Come storyline within JSA, the Salvation storyline in JLA, Superman with the Legion of Superheroes, everything. I think it's gonna be really good. And what I think Final Crisis is a big elaborate celebration of Superman's 70th birthday.
Yeah, that's totally what's gonna happen.
Yeah, everything revolves around Superman.
Uh-huh.
You know who you sound like?
All right, moving on.
Superman apologists.
But, and on that note,
I'm not a Superman apologist, though.
I was talking about Raph.
I know, but I was filling it.
I would never talk about you in a bad way.
Oh, thank you.
You know why you're gay?
All right, come on, Brett.
You know why you're gay?
One more gay.
You want to know why you're
gay? That was going to make you gay.
All right, what are you looking forward to in 2008?
Final Crisis, I want to know what it's about. I'm looking forward to J.G. Jones interiors. I'm looking forward to more Tony Daniel art on Batman, because I love the two issues he's done so far that I've read anyway. I haven't read the third one. I'm looking forward to Dustin Nguyen on Detective Comics. Can't wait for that. Looking forward to Rags Morales coming back and actually doing some work, hopefully. I'm looking forward to... Who else? Who's on Action Comics?
I am.
That guy. I'm looking forward to Ian on Action Comics.
Gary Frank.
He's drawn some great stuff, that Ian.
Gary Frank, Gary Frank.
I'm looking forward to Green Lantern. You know, I'm looking forward to everything in DC 2008. Because everything seems like it's going to be getting really good. And hopefully I don't bite my words next year.
I certainly hope so. Final Crisis?
I think it's going to be the death of the new gods.
Okay.
And the rise of the old, new gods. Old, new, old gods.
Old, new, old god.
Right.
New.
We're going to have the new gods die and the new gods, spelled like new metal, N-U.
Uh-huh.
You know, like new gods, not new.
You know, this actually sounds like something Grant Morrison would do, so I'm on board.
Exactly. So I think it's going to be that.
And every one of the previous new gods will come back with different spelled names.
And Limp Bizkit is going to be the High Father.
Dear.
All five of them.
They did it all for the Nookie.
What? The Nookie? What?
So you know, sex.
So you can take that cookie and stick it up your... Yeah?
Yep. Yeah.
Stick it up
your... You know, something Superman Prime knows nothing about.
You know, I could probably take this entire episode and turn it into a promo for the show.
Do it.
Batman.
All right.
I command you.
I like Puck. All right.
Puck you. Puck
mother,
off.
Mother Pucker.
What the fuck are you?
All right. I'm looking forward to an OH. Obviously, the build-up for Blackest Night. I want to see where that's going, specifically the Alpha Lanterns. I'm looking forward to the ramifications of the return of Ra's al Ghul, whether or not we're going to see him all over the place in 08, or whether or not he's just going to, you know, go to the shadows. I want to see whether or not we're getting the return of Spoiler, because that's going to be interesting in Robin. The relationship between Cassie and Tim in Teen Titans, will it go anywhere? Or is this just, you know, their grief manifesting? And
from growing an alien in their womb.
That's possible.
Oh.
Blue Beetle, for that matter. Speaking of aliens, let's see the resolution of the whole Reach stuff. That'd be fun. And for Booster Gold to continue to go awesome places all the awesome time, because he's awesome. Now, for Final Crisis, I believe it is going to be a 52 world war. I believe that all 52 monitors will be squaring off against the Monarch and his army. And I believe this will pretty much spill over into all the versions of everybody fighting everybody. There will be members of the 52 Earths on our world that were not there previously. There will be misplaced heroes. There will be lost heroes. But in the end, there will be 52 worlds still. Just things will be changed forever.
If it's as you say, mm-hmm. Then how is Batman going to tell himself from his new Frontier counterpart?
Simple. New Frontier counterpart says chum a lot.
And his ears.
Yeah. And he has a ward too.
Does he have? Is he drawing Darwin Cook style the whole time?
I hope so.
That'd be freaking awesome, though.
Yeah. Well, even in Arena, right. Wonder Woman still managed to look a little Darwin Cook. So
the Wonder Woman's from there?
Yeah.
I thought it was Amazonia, some Wild West thing.
Yeah, Amazonia, Wild West, and New Frontier.
Oh.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, like I said, I haven't read it yet, so.
Right.
Please forgive my ignorance.
One final question before we go. And considering that I think we asked this last time, but I'll ask it again this time since there's new people on the panel. Who had a better year, Marvel or DC? And we'll start with Raph.
Oh, I don't know. Gee, I wonder. Marvel, you know, there were no delays in Marvel. They didn't have crappy store at DC.
DC? Okay, great. Yeah, your sarcasm sucks, dude.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. It's late. I turned the sarcasm switch off.
Still not as late as, you know, when we did the episode 301. Yeah. Where just like, still, I don't know
my
where
sarcasm
I am.
My sarcasm switch, a little shifty.
A little shifty? Yeah, that's what I thought. Brandon.
I mean, with the pros and cons here, you know, DC, Marvel,
So DC, huh?
Yeah, DC.
Okay, that's what I figured. Brent.
Well, yeah.
No. Go ahead.
I don't want to... honestly, this has been the best year of comics we've had in a long, long time. But, I mean, both, like Raph said, both companies have had some delays. Both companies have had some pretty crappy stories. But, I mean, in the long run, I think DC just had a lot more character development than most other characters. And I think with Marvel, we've seen more of a character progression than anything else.
True. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I actually go DC over Marvel. Even though I think I said Marvel on the last episode, so now I really sound like a hypocrite. But you know what, though? Screw it, I'm going with a tie. That's what I'm going to go with, because I'm so much looking forward to Secret Invasion in Marvel, and the whole build-up with the Skrull stuff is great, and I'm looking forward to, you know, Final Crisis and DC also, so they both have me really interested. So I'm going to be a cop out and say both.
Good job.
Yeah. I'm a cop out loser. What can I say, Brent?
Yeah, that's really hard to judge based on getting things out. I'm going to say DC because Marvel missed a lot of issues of Captain America, Amazing Spider-Man, and FF and all that because of their Civil War delays.
Yeah.
And the one more day delay thing, you know. Had a bunch of delays.
Why couldn't it have been delayed longer? Like, so long that it never came out?
I know, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Why can't it be?
Could have been the Untold Tales of Spider-Man. Why couldn't it just be that?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Untold.
Untold Tales of Spider-Man.
Never freaking.
Yeah. Untold Tales of Spider-Man, written by God.
Oh, God.
Written by Batu, the Watcher.
I want your marriage. I want your love.
But so yeah, do you think DC did a better job? Dan DiDio got that right. He put in some fill-ins, you know, just so that we would not just miss a book. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Event-wise, Sinestro Corps was fantastic, but Amazon's attack sucked. Civil War was pretty good, but World War Hulk was a letdown. So you know, it's hard to say. So I'll have to go with Ian and go with Ty because there wasn't anything really that stood out. And I think the countdown detracts for DC a lot more than it should.
Right.
For me, anyway. So that's what I'll go for a tie. All right. If countdown wasn't as bad, then I would say DC.
Sounds good to me. All right, boys. It's been fun. So before I wrap everything up and ask everybody where they're from, here is a promo from Quack Talk, which I'm sure Raph likes because, you know, it's his people.
Now, if you like boring video games, congratulations, you got one. I have absolutely no idea why they did that. His art, it's pretty good, it's just not in this case. Seriously, what the freak are they thinking? Probably the best thing they've put out all this year, 5 out of 5. I hope I never have to watch anything that bad again. This definitely gets a 1 out of 5. Random? Yeah, a little bit. But hopefully entertaining and informative as well. Every other Saturday, Quack Talk brings you 30 minutes of reviews of video games, music, comic books, and other meanderings in pop culture and odd news. Join us at www.quacktalk.libsyn.com or search for Quack Talk in iTunes. That's KWOK. Hope to see you there.
All right, that is indeed Quack Talk. And I actually listened to the an episode about like 2 or 3 weeks back, and it was really good. So I'm going to try and listen to it whenever I have a free moment. Go ahead and check that out. And he gave all the instructions and all that. So hopefully you guys were listening. Yeah, let's wrap it up here. And before we do, obviously, Brandon, where can we find your ass?
So on iTunes under the Quarter Bin with a new episode coming out in 3 weeks, baby. Yeah, I'm back on top, baby. Yeah.
What's it going to be on?
Sidekicks.
Yeah. Who's going to be on it?
You.
Yay!
And Raph.
Yes.
And Britt, if you want to come on.
Sure. So what you're saying is you're pretty much just going to take the crew that's on now and be like, I'm host now, bitch.
Plus hopefully,
do you want to do it now?
No.
No. Plus, hopefully,
It's 12:36. I got work tomorrow, you bastard.
Oh, you have work tomorrow? I thought you were off.
No, I got work tomorrow. I went back to work on Wednesday.
You poor baby.
Yeah.
Plus, hopefully, LW, Virgin Geek.
Awesome. Where is it again? IndigoFire.libsyn.com, right?
Yes, and also on iTunes, and hopefully soon to be on TalkShoe. I'll get the feed later sometime.
Excellent. Cool. And where does your award-winning ass belong, Raph?
It belongs on my award-winning ass trophy.
Yes, but where's your podcast?
I was going to say, in his pants. Your ass belongs in your pants. I don't care what anybody says.
Or, no, it belongs in your boxers, which are in your pants.
So, Raph, what's coming up on Geeks Unite?
Well, we're taking a short break to sort of settle everything, and then we'll be back at the end of January. I don't know when this is coming out. End of January. And you can find us at freewebs.com/comicgeeksunite and geeksunite.libsyn.com.
Excellent.
Don't lie to the fans. Just tell them you're taking a month off to celebrate and make your head bigger.
It's not possible to make my head any bigger.
I'm sure I'm going to be on an episode eventually, considering that I was just on one a few weeks ago. And
Samurai 7.
Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't actually watched it, so I don't know whether or not I'm going to be on that episode, so we'll see.
Okay.
I was recently on Amazing Spider-Cast, so if you want to listen to the One More Day discussion they had on there, I was a part of that. And I was actually the optimistic one. If you believe that, which you can find at theamazingspidercast.cjb.net. And also, I was a part of the Noisy Awards, which was just announced. So check that out at comicbooknoise.com. It's one of the most recent episodes on there, so it should still be on the front page by the time this comes out. If not, then just go into their archive. And I was introducing a couple things for that. And they also aired the Geek Speak promo, which was nice of them. So, yeah, hey, Brent, BK's stuff, bullets, things, yeah.
No, not so much.
Nah, not so much?
Nah.
Okay, but where can you find your own stuff?
RagingBullets.com, Comic Timing, as always. I'm doing a bunch of editorials on the Comic Timing website. If you guys haven't been there in a while, if you just subscribe to us on iTunes, you know, go there every 2 weeks because I think Ian and I are going to be trying to put some more stuff up there.
Yeah.
Maybe some reviews, some opinions. Ian mentioned the one about Lord Havoc and the Extremists. Ian did one on One More Day. I did one on Spider-Man 3, a retraction of me bashing it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't so bad on a second viewing.
Oh, and my favorite one that I did, though, I think still holds up. The Ultimates 3 review was the first one that I did. I'm really proud of that review.
So, yeah, just go there every 2 weeks or so. Just put it in your favorites, and you don't have to visit it that often because we're not going to be updating it every day. But we're striving to make that site better, and we're getting a new logo and shit. So check it out.
And a brand spanking new website, too. I mean, come on. That thing was beautiful.
There was a redesign recently that Ian did himself, which he should be really proud of. Looks great.
Yay!
Oh, and speaking of Ian, you can find myself and Ian over at the Geek Speak Report, episode 3.
Yes.
Coming out bi-weekly now on.
Well, around bi-weekly, something along those lines, yeah. But
I was just going to fix that and say I won't be on every episode. I'm just on the 3.
Yes.
Because unless people vote for me, then I won't be the co-host of that either.
Oh, look out.
But listen to that episode for more info.
Why wasn't I nominated for co-host also? That's a good question.
You had to volunteer.
You had to volunteer, dude.
And I volunteered myself.
Yeah. I had the threads up for, like, you know, 2 months.
You missed out.
I worked at a toy store for the last 6 months of my life. I don't know what happened.
Aw, they're there. They're there, sir. They're there. But the important thing is that you have your own podcast. Don't cry. Don't cry.
Story of the truth. Ian said you couldn't enter because your podcast never comes out.
Oh.
That's not true.
I'm just kidding.
Quit putting words in my mouth. All right, we're done here. So check that out. Like I said, Geek Speak Report, it's good stuff. And like Brent said, it's good stuff. And probably either by the time this is out or a week after that, we'll probably have the first Geek Speak co-host challenge with Wayne Cordova. So that'll be good times. All right, here we go. The email just for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com/forums. which are graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at ComicGeekSpeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at ComicsPodcast.com. We're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasters at ComicBookNoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. Please dig us on Dig.com. And please send us your iTunes reviews. We will be mighty, mighty happy about that. And just a warning out there for anybody who happens to be listening with the kiddies, we get into somewhat vulgar language in these bloopers that are upcoming here. So, yeah, warning on that. For Brandon and for Raph and for Brent, I haven't said this regularly in a while, so how about that? There's always time for comics.
But I only have like 5 episodes out, and they come out once every 6 years.
Hey, you're like Joe Quesada.
Oh no, he's talented. Joe isn't.
Thank you.
Yeah, Brent, if you want, we can just do like a very small addition to previous episodes before we start talking DC.
No, you didn't want to do it, so whatever.
Wait. I got it.
It's not like he says more infuriating things every time we talk about it.
Yeah, well, that's why it's sort of worth actually talking about it for at least a little bit. All right,
fine.
Okay.
I'm gonna pull up my.
Switch my arms.
Brent sounds like he needs coffee.
It's only 9:54. This is early compared to what we usually do.
I know.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's like Christmas in a way. That just happened.
It's like Quantico. Yeah.
It's like Christmas in January.
Ooh, that's nice.
You mean my birthday?
Yeah, shut it.
January 28th.
This is older than by 11 months. I don't believe it.
Hey, dude, I'm sorry that I get to turn Jack Bauer first. 24.
My friend and I, either writing just like me, and either debating on his secret season of 24, like season 6, just to have 8 hours of Jack Bauer sleep. Like, this season, you see the unexpected Jack Bauer sleeping.
I'm sorry, that's just not supposed to happen.
Well, it's just 8 episodes of Jack Bauer sleeping in a row.
But question, is he sleeping in a prison bed?
No, he's just sleeping in his bed, you know.
Aw, because that's what Kiefer's sleeping in right now.
Yes, I know.
Dude, they should have just filmed the entire episode, like the entire 8 episodes, with him in prison.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
We just got rocketed.
It's like, Chloe, I'm having an unexpected crossover with Prison Break. I need schematics now.
I'm sorry, Jack. I'm great. I gotta help you.
Jack.
My angry husband is all up in my face now. I must go, Jack.
My potato face senses are tinkling.
Okay.
Center of the chakras. Come on. All right. Okay. I am Zen. Moment of Zen. Daily Show coming back on Monday. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. We're good.
Yay!
Yeah, but maybe not. Let's see. All right. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. With the end of Civil War. Great. Terrific. With the end of Civil War. Did Iron Man cross over with the DC Universe? We're still waiting to find out on that. I'm apparently speaking some language I just created up on the spot. Did Countdown...
Like 3 sugars.
Thank you.
Try the meal.
What if the
you need
world
a what if one more day.
Oh.
No. We need no more days.
Well, how about this? What if any of those characters that were on that laser promo had anything to do with anything?
What if One More Day? Yeah. Was Mephisto even on there?
No, he wasn't, but Loki was, and Loki made sense.
What if One More Day never happened? Oh, wait, go read Spider-Girl.
Oh,
a shitty title.
Wait,
what if One More Day never happened, a.k.a. what if Joe Quesada had a stroke before they could do it?
Why must you continue to wish harm on someone that you do not even know?
Because
what if One More Day came out on time, drawn by Ron Carney?
Well, I mean, I'm saying it for Brandon here. His childhood butthole is still aching, and all these other people, like, I mean, damn it, Quesada!
Childhood butthole.
See, this is why I told you we should have done an addendum. We wouldn't be talking about it now.
You know what?
You didn't listen to me.
You should all just go die in a fire. So the hell with this. Jesus.
What am I, Amazing 545?
Well, this is great. No, seriously, though, all of this is going in the back. I don't give a shit if I have to play the theme like four fucking times. This is all going in the back right now.
A really good theme, so.
Yes.
It's not like that weird Geeks Unite one in the back where it's like Twilight on Netflix. I don't know how they won a Noisy Award.
I know.
Their co-host didn't even on half the shows anyway.
What's the deal with that? Come on.
Oh no,
she's not even on there.
And that Wrath guy? Oh my god, man.
What a fucking pain in the ass that Wrath is. Don't fucking get me started.
I know, right? His voice is so, like, especially when, like, he gets all high, you know, and then he goes back down, and then he gets all high, you know, I mean, come on.
He's the Joe Quesada of podcasting. Don't start with me.
I know!
Yeah, that Wrath guy needs to drop a few, you know?
I'm gonna toss my Wrath from now on.
We love your ass. No, really, really, we do,
dude.
Are we
really
doing a show or something?
Well, this is that roast you wanted us to do for episode 10.
Oh yeah, seriously.
I mean, come on, happy fucking birthday, dude.
Let's do it right now. Well, I'll record and then we'll just come back to chat.
Oh man,
awesome.
You know, it wasn't the same character anymore. Like, they made a deal with the devil or something like that. You know what I mean? That was kind of weird.
God damn you all.
Ah, already rap.
This is going to be the lost episode of Comic Timing. You know?
No, JSA number 1 and 2 was the first one.
Well, no, I'm saying, like I'm gonna listen to this, and I'm gonna be like, you know what, we're just not putting this out, because it's just nothing but, like, so yeah, DC's interesting, Quesada. It's like, it's impossible to do any sort of podcast whatsoever when the word Quesada comes out of anybody's mouth.
I didn't say Quesada.
He did now, damn you.
How many times has it been said since I said it, though?
I'm going to have to introduce, actually, at the beginning of the episode, a Quesada count.
That'd be great.
Wherever anybody says Quesada, I'll do, like, a little ding.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. And the person who counts correctly should get a prize.
I'll send them my
a poster you will receive in a year.
Oh, thanks a lot, man. Thanks. I set that off, all right?
Wait, here's your prize.
Yeah.
Speaking 544, and apparently we're 24, Spectacular, and also Amazing 545.
Yeah, I'll send them my copy.
Oh, and you know what? I'm gonna cross out the One More Day on the title, and I'm gonna replace it with Yesterday.
Oh.
I'll send him all my Spider-Man trades that don't matter anymore.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Brandon!
Yeah, I was never really interested in
Heil!
Never really interested in Hal before Sebastian Gore.
Well, they do say that, Ethan Red Skyver did say that he draws Sinestro like Hitler, so, you know, that makes sense. It's okay, I'm Jewish, I'm allowed.
I know.
All right.
I'm a big DC fan, can I bash more on,
No.
No! Somebody put duct tape on Rap's mouth.
Oh, man.
Please, Mike, mute his mic.
Actually, I got a roll of duct tape in my stocking this year. I could.
Oh, that's good. That's good. But yeah, go back to what you were saying before you said Seagal. Well, this still feels like one more day. Damn it. What the fuck? Oh my god, it's so in my
head. 1 year later?
I know I meant to say 1 year later. Yeah, one more day came out of my fucking mouth. What the hell, man? What the hell? Alright.
You know what it is? It's because, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Brandon.
No, I'm making fun of you. That's all.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, everyone makes fun of me. Anyway.
It's funny because it's true. I still think they never even had to do the Barry Allen, the Bart Allen thing in the first place. Barry Bart. Somebody just dropped.
Oops.
Dropped.
Raph.
Oh, wow. What a shock it took this long.
Keep going.
Jerk.
Man. Well, this happens at least 5 or 7 times an episode when Raph's on. I'm surprised it took this long.
I'm surprised he won a Noisy Award at his own podcast.
Where do we live? In like a subterranean basement?
Raph does live in a subterranean basement.
Chinatown. Who knows?
Yeah.
Somebody's doing some illegal hacking.
It's
or
not,
something.
It's not podcasting. This is Chinatown.
You're going to get some worse.
Award-winning host of award-winning podcast, award-winning damn it. Hi, Raph.
Hello, Raph.
Raph, you're on. Come into the light. I see your call in progress thing. That means you're actually on.
Oh, no. Oh, shit. I had the mute button pressed. Hey. Sorry. There we go.
Two out of the three of the big three, which were supposed to be fixed by one more day, have had major delays on their book in 2007.
Ian,
one more day.
I did it again. I fucking did it again. All right, okay. Yeah.
Fucking Quesada.
Fucking Quesada, I think, is reserved for some poor people. His poor wife. Actually, he's looking kind of better, so maybe not his poor wife. I don't know.
Yeah, you sound
do
a
think
lot.
Do you think he says, tell me
better.
I erased Spider-Man. Tell me, baby, did I erase Spider-Man or what?
Brent, you
and on that
suck.
Note,
you fucking suck, dude. All right? Why the hell do you have to put that fucking image in anybody's head? Jesus.
I don't know.
And on that note,
Quesada.
Fucking Quesada.
I just took it literally.
I'd like to thank you guys for having me on Comic Timing. It was great.
Okay, you're not ending the show, all right?
Hey, everybody.
If we could get you to leave Comic Timing more, then
there's
maybe
always.
We would annoy you.
In and around.
Okay. Maybe we should start a podcast with David D. Maybe then we'd win.
Yeah,
we should have the best episodes ever, every time.
We have to call the show. That was the best episode ever.
Let's do that.
Okay, alright.
I have Atomic 99.
I just did Atomic 99.
Oh, shit. I thought you were doing Comic Time.
There are no more in Comic Time.
There's just Matthew Guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
You didn't even realize I was reading the poster over yet.
No, I wasn't. I had my screen share wrong.
My name is Brandon. I like zoning out. Oh look at Kitty.
Ooh, shiny.
Ooh. It really was like that. It was ooh, shiny.
I like turtles.
Shiny.
Okay. I haven't brought I like turtles up in a while. Hey, hi, Raph.
Yeah, I'm still here. I want an iRaph.
It's like a regular wrap, only it's mechanical.
You think it'll make me noodles? Noodles of noodles.
Oh, me sorry, don't make noodles. Oh,
yeah, hi, wrap at like number 7?
Number 7, no more rice.
Okay. But, Am I boring you? Go ahead.
No, I'm just tired.
Man, you fart.
Okay.